ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വ മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമി വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രാണോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസം ആലയം മുഹുരഹോ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുഭേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിദാദൃദാനനന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേർ മധുരീം ന കണികാവി കാവി കാവി നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമാം വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശാ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം ഭംഗം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Chapter 5 Shri Shuka Uvacha Nandastvalmajamulpanni Jadahlado Mahamanaha Ahuya Vipran Daivajnan Snana Shuchiralankrataha Vajayitva Sustainam Jadakarmalmajasyavaihi കാരയാമാസ വിധിവൽപ്പിത ദേവാർച്ചനം തഥാ ധേനൂനാം നിയതേ പ്രാദാദ് വിപ്രേഭ്യാ സമലം കൃതേ തിലാദ്രിൻ സപ്തരത്നൗഘാദ കൗംഭാവരാവൃതാൻ കാലേന സ്നാന ശൗചാഭ്യാം സംസ്കാരൈ സ്തവസേജ്യയാ ശുദ്ധ്യന്തി ദാനൈ സന്തുഷ്ട്യാ ദ്രവ്യാൻ ആത്മാത്മവിദ്യയാ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് യെസ്റ്റർഡേ That last fourth verse. Kalena snana shaujabhyam samskare tapasejyaya shuddhyanti dhanai sandushtya dravyan atmaatma vidyaya. So, Sukadeva Goswami says here that purification is necessary. Purification is necessary at all levels. Bodily level, mental level, and even spiritual level, in spiritual level. So, he performed this, if you'll read, see there, one or two words in the second verse, Sosteyanam, Jada Karma. These ceremonies he has performed. Sosteyanam and Jada Karma. Remembering, after that, he performed the forefathers and the demigods. He performed them, sacrifices for them. Sacrificed and plus many, many cows were given in charity. Many devotees and brahmanas, they were fed. Here, Sukadeva Goswami, you can see, he is reminding us something there. This is what we are talking about yesterday. That kalena snana shaujabhyam samskarai stabasejyaya shuddhyanti dhani sandushtya dravyan atmaatma vidyaya. The fourth verse. He says here, how we should live in this world. Sukadeva Goswami is important instruction, how to live in this world. So they perform different sacrifices, which is known as samskaram, isn't it? Samskara karma. That means purification of one's wealth, purification of one's own wealth, and purification of one's body, purification of one's mind. All this is necessary in life. Because nana shaujabhyam, that is easier, bathing and shaujam, ajamanam, things like that, which we perform to purify ourselves. Water is a essential ingredient in purification. Out of the five material elements, you can see all of them had purificatory properties. So generally, Brahmanas take two things, particularly the water and fire for purification. Water is more important for them than anything else. What purification with water. In water, Krishna says, I am present there, isn't it? Punyoganda Padivyamscha Tejaschasmi Vibhavaso Jivanam Sarvabhudeshu Tapaschasmi Tapasushu. Then he says about the water also, isn't it? Apam. So in Apam also, water also he is present, Krishna is present. So by touching the water, you get purified. You get purified. So that is why body to be purified with the water, Snana Shaujabhyam. And not only that, there are this other 16 purificatory processes which are discussed. By executing austerities and penances, performing sacrifices, mind gets purified. Mind gets purified. More, and also by charity. Also by charity. These things are for purification of the mind. What are they? Performing by austerities and penances. Just like fasting, austerity. It's an austerity. And that is for purification of the mind. And also, also performing sacrifices. That is for purification of the mind. More than that, charity is also for purification of the mind. For purification of the mind. Above all that, how does the mind get purified? Not having any desires. That is the main thing in all. For purification of the mind is concerned, the greatest purification of the mind is not having desires inside. Not cultivating desires inside. That hankering, continuous hankering, continuous seeking for pleasure, pleasure-seeking nature, that has to go from inside. Otherwise, the mind is constantly disturbed. Ashanti is inside the mind. That is what he says here. That all these are for purification of the mind. One relationship with the body, other one relationship with the mind. And then, using all that, Sudeva Swami wants to tell us something more important than all of that. What is that? What he says here, what related to the soul. Relation to the soul. So, taking bathing in time and also not touching each other, and all this is relationship with the body. And yogi, in the Yoga Shastram, they give explanation to all that. Why one should not do these things. What happens at that time? They tell us all that. What happens when you make physical contact with others, and also why water should be used for purification, all such things they have explained there. But from Jatakarmam onwards, Shadabhishekam, that means till your more or less leaves the body, that you have got so many samskarams to perform, everything in relationship with the body. But chanting the holy name, austerities and penances, controlling the food habits, ahara niyantanam, and whatever the senses like, not offering that to the senses. Not offering that. If you do all that, the senses will get heated up when they don't get their gratification. They'll get heated up. So, and that will help, that heating up will help to make more focused in controlling the mind. So you can see, that's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, the mind is born of food. The mind is born of food, what we eat. If you eat a lot of food, what will happen? The mind will become strong. The mind will become very strong. Those who are fasting on Ekadashi day completely, they'll know that. The next day they feel a lot better than any other day. Why? There's more peace inside. There was not too much food supply to the body. But getting that balance is important, that more food creates more problems, in the sense that the balance or the mind gets unnecessarily, chittavritti will increase with quantity of food, in the quantity of food. Krishna explains very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita how the food what we eat goes in different directions. Part of most subtle form of the food becomes the mind. The most subtle form of the food becomes the mind. Little bit grosser than that, it becomes the flesh in the body. And further, most gross form turns into what is discharged from the body while evacuation. What happens? It's the most gross form of that is evacuated. So that is how in three levels, the food that is taken in is gone in three different ways. The most subtle form becomes the mind. The most gross form gets separated from the body, And the middle one, which is in between, that is accepted into the body and turns into flesh, blood, flesh and bone marrow, everything. It is converted into that. And all the liquid that has gone in gets converted into blood, and even the water gets converted in that way, in a similar way. So basically what he is saying there is that mind and the food, they are very close, connected each other. That is why yogis, when they want to control the mind, they control the food first. They control the food first. So, and after saying that, if the mind is pure, the nerves in the body also will become pure. And then sacrifices. What for sacrifices? This is an important principle. That due to working in this world, due to working in this world, or doing business or whatever it is, and due to our karma, karma phalam, what we are entitled for, due to our prarabdham, we will get money more than what is necessary to live in this world. It'll come. Sometimes it comes, isn't it? Unexpected quarters, money will come. And somewhere else you are working very hard and the money goes, doesn't stay. So it's all puzzling to people. How come all these things happening? Basically, prarabdham controls our life in this world. If we accept that principle, we won't be baffled by that. People expect that everything has to work according to our effort. It doesn't work like that. We'll be discussing that later. What is destiny and what is effort? This is always a big question in front of everyone, isn't it? People ask this question, that is it destiny or is it depends on the effort? Everything what puts in. So, question is here, that if you accumulate more, then it has to go into the bank or somewhere else, and then you will have concern about its protection, about its protection. So, in the past, the system was, from Ramachandra onwards, at least you can see in the history, whenever they had excess wealth, they gave it in charity or they used for performing sacrifices. That is why in the Valmiki Ramayanam, after they came back from Lanka, after the battle was over, Ravana was killed, everything. The palace was full still because Bharat's administration was such that palace was full. At that time, Ramachandra took the decision that everything should be offered in charity to others. Everything should be offered in charity to others. After the war, all the Vanaras had come back with him to Ayodhya. And there, Sri Ramachandra performed a sacrifice and given everything in charity. And not only Ramachandra, Sita Devi, whatever jewelry she had, she gave everything in charity. She didn't want anything after that. After the war, she came back. And it was then that Valmiki says about Sita Devi, Saumangalyavasheshita. Saumangalyavasheshita means she was a Sumangali, which means that she had that, what do they call? Mangala Sutram, yes. That was there in her neck. And that was all she had, the jewelry left. Everything else she gave in charity. Sita Devi gave in charity. Because they know that an unnecessary wealth, accumulating wealth was not their principle. They lived with such high values in life. So they gave everything. And by doing like that, they expected that all their activities of killing so many individual, any living entities, they wanted to purify from that, that their wealth also that has come to them was not pure in that way. So that wealth was completely spent in that way. So, so what else happens by doing like that? The possessiveness in us, we have this possessiveness nature in us, we possess something. That possessiveness, that will go away from inside. They will go away from inside. At the moment, people think that this is mine, isn't it? It is not only for that purpose these sacrifices were created, to get rid of that impurity from inside, possessiveness. So, tabasa ijaya bhavena, for charity. So, therefore, similarly, to be satisfied with everything what one gets, to be satisfied with that. So, with that, the mind will get purified. But, even if all this has happened, Chitta Shuddhi is the goal. Chitta means mind, the Shuddhi, inside, subtle body, purity. It has come. So, after that, Sukadeva Goswami says, you have to realize the self. You have to realize the self. So Uday Goswami's concern is about that. Whether you, somehow or the other, he says all these things are there. Purification of the body, purification of the mind, and everything spoken there, purification of the wealth. All these things are there. That's fine, he says. But after that, self-realization must happen. That is why, if you remember, look at that verse. Shudyanti dhyanai sandoshtya drivya alma alpa vidyaya. Soul should be purified, he says. The soul should be purified. How? Alma alma vidyaya. Soul by knowledge. Alma vidya. Alma vidya means knowledge of the soul. Purify the soul by knowledge of the soul. So, in order to know the soul, you need that knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of the soul. To purify the body, you have to bathe. And for purifying the mind, you have to chant, you have to meditate, you have to perform worship, and minimize that ignorance inside, and all desire, fruitive activities should be minimized. And also to give things to others which we think it's ours. All these things are for purifying the mind, for purifying the mind. But how do we purify the soul? That is the question, isn't it? What is the way? That's why he says here, Alma, Alma Vidyaya. Dravyani, Alma, Alma Vidyaya. Alma Vidyaya. So, every time you will notice in the Bhagavadam, wherever if we can create an opportunity to speak about the soul, Sukadeva Goswami will utilize that. To opportunity to talk about the soul. And in the middle of all this story, now we are talking about what? We are talking about the Nandotsavam. That's what the topic in this chapter is. But when he found an opportunity to remind us about soul, he immediately Sukadeva Goswami took advantage of that. Otherwise, what soul has to be mentioned in this chapter? This chapter is all referring to the big festival what was going on in Gokulam after Krishna's appearance. This fifth chapter, which is known as Nandotsavam. Nandotsavam. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, cowherd men, gopis, all together celebrating Krishna's appearance for 5 long days. 5 days festival it was. And it's a big festival and Sukadeva Goswami is enjoying the festival. Even though he's enjoying the festival, he is still telling us, don't forget about the Alma Vidya. Don't forget about the soul. Because ultimately that is the goal. If you don't realize the self, what is the use of this life? This is his point. So wherever he gets an opportunity, here he got the opportunity to say this. Why? Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi was engaged in sacrifices. So he says there, sacrifices are necessary for purifying the mind. And one has to purify the body. Therefore, snanam, bathing is mentioned. Shaujam, all purificatory ceremonies he has mentioned. Added to that, he also mentioned, Dravyan Almalpa Vidyaya. Almalpa Vidyaya. Alma, you should purify, because that's the most important thing. That's what we are. Body you can purify, but body is finished one day. Mind you can purify. Mind is also finished one day. Wealth you can purify. Wealth is also finished one day. But that purification of the soul, that is the most important thing. That's see? That is why he used that opportunity to tell us that Dravyan Alma Alma Vidyaya. Alma Vidya is important, he says there. Dravyan Alma Alma Vidyaya. That is why he will create an opportunity and he will remind us. That is Sukadeva Goswami's way. He'll look for an opportunity and he'll find one, then he will remind us straight away about the soul. That is why it is so important that once you have taken to the spiritual path, seriously, there's only one goal in life, self-realization. Realizing the self, what we are. Isn't it? Krishna also says exactly the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. What is Krishna saying? Krishna is saying, Abhaya sattva samshuddhi jnana yoga vyavasthiti dhanam damascha yajnyascha swadhyaya stava arjavam ahimsa satyam akrodam dayat savityagrapayishunam dayabhudeshu alolyuptam ardavam hri achapalam tejakshamadrudrishaujam nadroho adimanida devika sambadam devi abhijadasya bharadam. So, Abhaya sattva samshuddhi. Sattva samshuddhi means purification of one's own existence. One's own existence. That means purification of body, mind, all these things are on a temporary level. That is necessary. But that itself is not the real purification. Real purification is self-realization. That is a perfect purification. Once you have got it, then you don't have to worry about body, mind and all that. That is, till then you have to do all these things. So that is why. So he is only reminding us that is the destination actually. That is what he is telling us. Not purification. People get stuck in this. Sometimes they get stuck in purifying the body. They'll take three times bath. I've done my spiritual life. They think like that. I've taken three times a bath today, so I am purified now. No. Or they may say that I have done other meditation or any other spiritual activity, deity worship or something, so I'm purified. No. Sudha Goswami says no. The goal is self-realization. If you don't cultivate Atmavidya, knowledge of the soul, which is our pure identity. Actually, we are spirit soul, not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence, nothing. They are all temporary coverage for us, isn't it? So purification of the soul is the most important thing. And therefore, he is saying here that you should know the soul. You should know the soul. Are alma drashtavya shodavya mandavya nididhyasidavya. Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Maitreya also, complete shanti, peace, satisfaction, tripti, santushti. That satisfaction will only come if you know the soul. Otherwise it won't happen. By keeping the body very pure, by keeping the mind even pure, you won't have that peace inside. Peace won't come. Peace will only come when the knowledge of the soul goes in. Otherwise it won't happen. So how to know the soul? That is what he was talking about. After hearing about the soul, one should sit quietly and reflect on the soul and mandavya and nididhasavya. And then if we continuously follow that process, the soul will manifest its pure form. That is the jnana margam. What is the Bhagavata Sampradayam? The two processes. One is the jnana margam, which is to shravanam mananam nididhyasanam. What the Upanishads are talking about. Shravanam mananam nididhyasanam. Hearing and then reflecting on that and holding on to that truth uninterruptedly. That is the jnana margam. Bhakti margam is that that chant the holy name and follow the instructions, Srimad Bhagavatam, spiritual master, and continuously chant the holy name and to remember Krishna and to take shelter of Krishna. This is bhakti process. Both processes are perfect. Neither. Practical process today is the bhakti margam, not the jnana margam. That continuously chanting the holy name, continuously surrendering to Krishna and following the instructions of the Shastram and the spiritual master. Whatever distress comes in life, anything can happen in life, isn't it? Any distress can come. Whatever happens, still completely dependent on Krishna. Completely. Krishna ananya bhavo sadmyaham. In that way, to live in this world. That devotee's process is like that. Dasoham, dasoham. I am your servant, I am your servant. Dasoham, dasoham. I am your servant. Constantly developing that mood inside. Dasoham. Dasoham means I am your servant. Dasoham. If you keep on chanting that dasoham inside, one day what Krishna will do? Krishna will take that da from there and it will become soham. What a soham means? Soham means I am that. That you will get that realization that your identity is spirit, is soul. That realization will come. So that Krishna has to give it to us. If we keep this mood of dasoham, Krishna will give the mood soham one day. He will take that da off from there. And he will make us realize that that spirit is the soul, spiritual nature will be revealed to us one day. So, so Krishna has to give us that realization, that anubhuti. And that is what is called Atmavidya, knowledge of the soul. So continuously remembering Krishna while in dhyanam or meditations, or even while conducting vyaharam, transactions in this world. And if you don't leave this meditation from inside, that Bhagavad Dhyanam will continue to exist. So Nanda Maharaj, what did he do? What he did was he gave a lot of cows in charity to the brahmanas, a lot of wealth. That is what is spoken there. That Tiladrin Satnaratnauga Shada Kaumbhavaravradan. That how, what all he has given in charity, it is mentioned there. So he gave plenty of prasadam to all the sadhus who had come, and great happiness he was experiencing at that time. Not for anybody else to know about it, just because Krishna has appeared, therefore, not to make anybody else know. So, normally at that time when children are born, the system in those days was astrologers will come to the house. And then they will start their calculations of the, they'll calculate the future of the baby's life in this world. They'll calculate. And so, unfortunately, when Krishna appeared, all these things didn't happen in the prison, isn't it? They didn't come. So anyway, here, in Nandamaharaj's house, they have all come. They've all come to Nandamaharaj's house. Nandamaharaj felt very happy, and he advised everywhere about the arrival of the baby, and the whole Brajam was decorated with everything. Saumangalya giro vipra, fifth verse. Sudamakadavandinaha, gayagasa jagarne durbheryo dundhubayo muhum. Prajasamrashta samsikta dwarajaragha andara, chitradvajavadagastrai. పతాగాస్ర చైలవల్లవతోరణై గావో వృషావల్సర హరిద్రా తైలరుషిదా విచిత్రదాదుబర్హ సహస్రత్వ కాంచనమాలిన మహార్హవస్త్రాభరణ కంచుగోష్ణీషు భూషిద గోపాసమాయు రాజన్నానాపాయన పానయ. దట్ ఈస్ ద వే ది వ్రజం వాస్ సెలబ్రేటింగ్ దేర్ అపియరెన్స్. సో అండ్ గోపీస్ వర్ డెకరేటెడ్ దెమ్సెల్ఫ్. వి స్పోక్ అబౌట్ దాట్ ఆల్సో యెస్టర్డే. We saw that how they were going to, they had decorated themselves and they were going to see Krishna, and all the ornaments they were wearing. And one Acharya says that Krishna's rasa dance has started from that day itself, not later on, because gopis have started coming to Krishna from then on. So actually it has started from that day itself, he says. So, Gopya Sumrishta Manikundala Nishkakandya Chitrambaraha Padishikha Chudamalya Varushaha Nandalayam Savalayam Vrajadir Virejur Vyalola Kundala Payodhara Hara Shobhaha. That is one important verse there where Sudeva Goswami says, seeing the gopis going to see Krishna. Sudeva Goswami's attitude is, opinion is, Krishna I can see later, but this I won't get another chance to see again. The devotee is going to see Krishna. So that is why he takes more interest in the devotees who are going to see Krishna than going, Krishna, I can go and see him later. So Sudeva Goswami's mood is like that. Gopyaha sumrishta manikundala nishkakandya chitrambaraha. That the gopi's dress, Sudeva Goswami is very fond of talking about that. Gopis, how they are dressed up. The simple village women from Brajam. How simple they were. Gopyaha sumrishta manikundala nishkakandya chitrambaraha padishikha chudamalya varshaha. They have decorated themselves with all flowers, what they were, that was available, and their expensive clothes which they were wearing, and how all the jewelry what they had. And what else was happening? Patishikha Achyudamalya Varshaha Nandalayam Savalaya Vrajadir Virejor. They were going in one after the other. All of them were carrying a lot of presents to give it to Krishna. They were feeling so happy because all of them were feeling the unhappiness that Nandamaharaj didn't have a child, because Nandamaharaj was the king. So after Nandamaharaj's time, what will happen? All this problem will come if they don't have a successor, isn't it? They didn't have democracy then. So they had to depend on the king. So Nandalayam Savalaya Vrajadir Virejor. So they were more happy than Nandamaharaj that Yashoda Devi had a baby. Yashoda Devi was 40 years old, and by nature also she was a little bit fat compared to others. She was more fat. And Nandalayam Savalaya Vrajadir Virejor. So they were all going in a line to see Krishna. Vyalola kundala payodhara hara shobhaha. That their kundalam, what was the ear, drops. That was reflecting on their cheeks. They were so beautiful. The gopis were so beautiful. Sudeva Goswami mentions all that in the Bhagavatam. So they go there, and Krishna says here there that so Sudeva Goswami also noted there, people are going but nobody is coming back. Everybody is going there but no one was coming back, he says. So he wanted to ask them, how do you find the baby who has appeared? Women were talking to each other. Some people wanted to find out, how is the baby? They will ask that question, isn't it? And some of them were talking to each other, very nice way, that Nanda Maharaj is not so dark. He is a fair complexion. Yashoda Devi also is a fair complexion. How come Krishna has got this color? This was, women discuss all these kind of things, isn't it? They discuss all these things. As Prabhupada says, the skin disease or whatever they call it. Says. So anyway, they were talking all these things. That how come that Krishna is like this? So they were all a little bit shocked that Krishna is this color. And Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda were looking much more brighter. And so they were saying like that. So Nanda Baba Maharaj says here that Nanda Maharaj's color is spoken as a very important thing there. So anyway, Yashoda also is like that. Ultimately, that they say, oh no, he's still beautiful. Even though he's dark, he's bluish cloud, they say. Neela Mekhala Shyamalam, that is his color, they say like that. And very beautiful, they say. And then, Ta Ashisham Prayunjana Chiram Pahidibalage Haridra Churnadailabi Sinjandyo Janamujagum. So, gopis have come and their children have also come. Not only that, their grandparents also, gopis, their grandfather, grandmother, they all came. And everyone, and Nanda Maharaj's home was full. And every one of them went there, picked up the baby in their hand. And Ashisha Prayunjanam, that they blessed the child, let the baby live for a very long time, healthy, this and that. And later on you will see in the Bhagavatam, once Yashoda Devi, in the way, like a mother, she calls Krishna and says to him, you should chant the holy name every day, she says to him. Krishna says to Krishna, you should chant the holy name every day. So, and in a fact, and he was not listening. So he was feeling shy to chant. Krishna was feeling shy to chant. Yashoda is not realizing whose name are we chanting. She is also chanting his name. She doesn't know that. Nobody knows. The whole world doesn't know whose name we are chanting. And we are asking him to chant the holy name. So even Yashoda Devi put a lot of pressure on Krishna to chant the holy name. Just as a usual way, like the mothers will do to the asking the children to chant. So, but what has happened at that time was that that they glorified all the demigods also, and all the cowherd men, they celebrated that festival in a big way. And as soon as Krishna appeared, the whole Vrajam became very opulent. Gopis will talk about that later. Jayati Tedigam Janmana Vraja Shraidam Indira Shashodatrahi. Indira means Lakshmi Devi, she started dancing. Dancing means all the wealth, the Gogulam was felt very, very opulent. Everything for happiness, it was there. It was there. Plenty of milk, plenty of cows, plenty of grains, plenty of vegetables, plenty of fruits. Everything, opulent life, that is their opulence. Their opulence is like that. Their opulence is like that. And that Samardhi. And Lakshmi Devi made her as a residence, her residence there. And all the trees, everything were full. All the trees were full with fruits. And what was at that time, Nanda Maharaj, 5 days of festival was over. 5 days of festival was over. To tell you the truth, to discuss this chapter completely in a proper way, we need at least 7 days, 8 hours a day. That is how much is in this chapter. So beautiful this chapter is. This Nandotsavam. Because it took 5 days for them to celebrate. That celebration itself is such an important topic in the Bhagavatam. You'll find this in the 10th canto. As soon as you open, this is one chapter which gives a lot of pleasure to talk about. in the that festival, Krishna's appearance festival, Nandotsavam, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, their happiness, that happiness among the people, that honesty and sincerity and that simplicity in their life, and everything centered around Krishna. Practically the spiritual world was there in their association, and they were enjoying that life with Krishna's presence there. That's what you will find in that chapter. It's an important chapter. So the fifth chapter. Then, after these 5 days, more or less, visitors have all gone. All the visitors have finished. So then Nanda Maharaj thought, I have not paid my taxes to Kamsa yet. And he was very happy now. When you are in a happy mood, you are willing to pay the taxes, isn't it? When you are depressed, you don't want to pay the taxes. Same thing with Nanda Maharaj also. His inland revenue is in Madura. He has to go to Mathura to see the inland revenue. So what he did was, he packed up everything and loaded the bullock carts. A few bullock carts he loaded with all the... And what did he load them with? Yogurt, butter, milk. And he took a lot of things like that. And whatever the coins they were presenting, gold coins, to pay the taxes. Nanda Maharaj calculated everything, how much tax he owe to Kamsa. Kamsa is the chief. Nanda Maharaj is a small king under Kamsa. He is a big man, big boss there. So while going, he calculated everything and counted everything and put it in the bullock carts, and he has prepared himself to go. When he got there, he from Vrindavan, he carried by bullock cart to Mathura. He got there and went and saw Vasudev. Went and saw Vasudev. Vasudev Vasudev also, actually, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men who went with him with all the money to pay the taxes, they were staying in a upavanam. Upavanam means not in the, they didn't have any ashrams or hotels. They lived in the forest. Just like they lived in Vrindavanam, they'll go and live there also. In the forest, they'll make some facility and they'll stay there. So they were staying like that. Vasudev have come to know, Vasudev knows about this, isn't it? Krishna is staying with Nanda Maharaj, that he knows. So, Vasudev came to visit him. Vasudev came to visit Nanda Maharaj. And Vasudev told Nanda Maharaj, I am so happy that you had no children till now. Now that you have a son is born, it was a long time desire you had, that has been fulfilled. And Durlabham Priyadarshanam, he says there in that verse, isn't it? In the, if you look into the sixth chapter, you will see that when Idi Vasudeva Uvacham, that is end of fifth chapter, you will see Nanda Maharaj arrives there. And Vasudeva says, Karo vai varshigyo dato, yakye drishto avayam chavam, nehasteyam bahudidam sandulpadas chago gulem. When he went to if you look at verse 24, Dishtya samsara chakra, that is verse chapter 5, verse 24. Dishtya samsara chakresmin vartamana punarbhava. Ubalabdho bhavan adhya durlabham priyadarshanam. So, durlabham priyadarshanam. Vasudev was actually feeling great unhappiness inside. That this situation with Kamsa was not a very happy situation. Not a very happy situation. What Kamsa will do next moment, you don't know what he will do. He can do anything, isn't it? So he says here, you can see that in his words. He says here, just like in the water when it's flowing, how the leaves and the grass, everything go along with the water, where they have no independence to make any decision. Sometimes they come together and they get separated and they go again like that, isn't it? Similarly, although in family life we all get brought together by some unknown reason, whatever it may be, we are brought together. And before we have no control over that situation, and the same power which brought us together, that separates us also one day, isn't it? Same power that brought us together, that will separate us also. That is why he says here that nobody can live together anytime. It is not possible. So he says like that, and then he says here, that after that he says, then he says here, Ubalabdho bhavanadya durlabham priya darshanam. Now I am happy that I am able to see you, because otherwise there was no possibility for me to see you at all. You are in Vrindavan, I am in Mathura. And, but if you remember, I have one of my son living with you. That means Balaram, talking about Balaram. He is living there. Is he growing up well? Is he okay? I have not seen him yet. So, please look after him as your own son. Says like that. Vasudev says to, this is my prayer to you. Well, Vasudev says to Nanda Maharaj. And he, Vasudev says to him, he is living there thinking that you are his father. You are his father. Please properly look after him. So after they had a meeting, which you can read there, that what they spoke about and all that. Eventually, Nanda Maharaj decided to leave Mathura. He has gone and paid all the taxes and paid his respects to Kamsa. Kamsa was also very happy to know that Nanda Maharaj didn't know who the son is, isn't it? That he's the one who is going to kill Kamsa. He doesn't know that. So he goes and tells Nanda Maharaj, I had a son born and I brought all these presents to you because I had a son born. Kamsa says, congratulated him. Oh, you got the son born for you. That's very nice. He congratulates him and takes all the presents what was given. And he thanked Nanda Maharaj. Kamsa thanked him for bringing all these presents. But the bigger present is waiting there in Gokulam later on to happen. But after saying all these things, while leaving, Nanda Maharaj then spoke to Vasudev. While leaving, he told him that that everything is very unfortunate because the destiny is like this, that we are all meant to be in this kind of situation. Because Vasudev's situation was very crucial at that moment. Vasudev's situation was not crucial, very crucial at that moment. At that point, Vasudev and Devaki is not in the prison yet. It's not in the prison yet. Because you remember what happened. What happened was, the six children were killed, isn't it? Six children were killed. And then he felt compassion after Yogamaya told to to Kamsa that why are you killing all these people? Because Yogamaya said that, Kamsa felt that he should be a little bit more compassionate to Devaki and Vasudev. So what did he do? He opened the prison and told them, you can go and happily live wherever you want in Mathura. But I'll keep a watch on you, but you stay wherever, you don't have to stay in the prison. So Yogamaya's those words helped to let Vasudev and Devaki go away from the prison. That was the advantage of Yogamaya saying that. But then again Vasudev was under fear that, because Vasudev also knows about that voice from the sky that the eighth child is going to kill, and Vasudev was practically knew who it is, isn't it? It is Krishna who's going to come. So that fear, will Kamsa find out Krishna? Will Kamsa do something for Krishna? And if he does find out by some reason that Krishna was born in the prison and all these things have happened, what is he going to do with us, Devaki and Vasudev? All this fear in Vasudev's mind for so long a period of time. So many years Vasudev and Devaki lived outside. Many years Vasudev lived. And then when do they put Vasudev and Devaki back into prison? Much later, Sri Narada Maharshi comes and tells him, who is Krishna? It was then that they lock him up again. Who Vasudev and Devaki was put back into prison again. So there was a gap there. So they didn't have to stay inside the prison for a long period of time, but they were put back into prison again, much later. So that is the sequence in which it happened. So here, Nanda Maharaj is leaving and Vasudev is not revealing everything to Nanda Maharaj. He is very careful while he is saying something. All he said to them was that, please look after my son Balaram there. And Nanda Maharaj says also, seeing Vasudev's situation, Nanda Maharaj is feeling sorry for him. Your six children were killed, weren't they? Six children were killed. How unfortunate it is. He was saying like that too. And what can I say? We are all tools in the hands of destiny. In the hands of destiny. Krishna plays with everyone in one way or the other. The only freedom you have is to play the game. That's all you have. You can't decide what will happen. The result is not in your hands, but you just, Krishna will play with us, and according to the way Krishna plays with us, you have to play the act in the drama. What goes on here? So, svecha. Svecha means, svecha means one's own strength. One's own strength. Svecha means one's own icha, desire, isn't it? One's own desire. In the Bhagavatam, there is a statement, ishasya hi vashe loko yosha darumayi yatha. It says, ishasya hi vashe loko. This whole world is going on like this, under Krishna's direction, under his control, Ishvara's control. Ishasya hi vashe loko. Like how, yosha darumayi yatha. Just like the person who plays this puppet show. When they do the puppet show, behind the scene, he's got all the strings he pulls. But people who are watching the puppets, they don't know the strings are controlled from the back, isn't it? Similarly, all of us have got a string attached to it. Krishna has got that string at the top. He's pulling the string and we are playing our game, what we have to play here. So, that is what he says here. This svecha, whose icha, whose desire it is, if you actually think about it, there is no thing called svecha. Svecha means your own desire. It is no such thing. You can see that if you look at yourself. Did we take birth on our desire? Or was it forced upon us to take birth in this world? And did they ask us, what kind of body do you want? White body, brown body, black body, this body, that body. They didn't ask any question. You are told, you go and take birth there, we have to go and take birth there. In whatever conditions it is, isn't it? So, nowhere we have freedom. Practically, nowhere we have freedom. To take birth, we have no freedom. What kind of body you will get, you have no freedom. Place where you get, no freedom at all. And even what to talk about the beauty of the body, whether the hair should be curl hair, or whether hair should be black hair, or whether it should be blonde hair, all these things is not in one's control. And similarly, what happiness and distress comes in life also, or illnesses comes, it all keeps coming on its own way at different times. So, when happiness comes, you are not able to say to Krishna, oh, I don't want happiness anymore, I had enough of it. We never say like, this is one interesting thing. Have you noticed? Only when there is distress in life, we'll go to Krishna. Have you seen anyone going to Krishna, Krishna, why you are giving me so much happiness in life? Have you seen anybody saying to Krishna that? It will never happen. Krishna knows that. That nobody will come to him to say, why you are giving me so much happiness. So practically you can see, whereas when distress comes, immediately we want that to go away. The distress has to go away. So Krishna's point is, just like you don't say to Krishna that when happiness comes it should go, you should also not say to Krishna, when distress comes, it should go. That is the principle. Because this happiness and distress is coming from false ego. This is where it's originating from. False ego decides happiness and distress. False ego is telling us that, false ego continuously tells us, I want happiness, I don't want distress in life. This is why. So, up to, we are all toys in Krishna's hands, in the material nature's hands. We are just like toys. Up to what point? That's the question. Up to what point? Till the point you realize the self. Only up to that point. You are toys in the material nature's hand. So, once self-realization happens, will all this go away? This is important questions. In the Bhagavatam, you will see there that when self-realization happens, will they go away? This is the question. Will they go away? Why self-realization is important? This is the important point. So, if the self-realization happens, all these problems will be resolved once for all. whatever that is there in the material nature, it will stay as it is. What's there in the material nature, it will say. But one who has realized the truth, one who has got that tattva jnanam, then from now onwards, from that point onwards, because he will not think I am this body. He won't think anymore I am this body. And similarly, he will also be conscious of the fact that happiness and distress that's coming in life is not for me, not for me. That thing will go away. You see, when we experience happiness and distress for the body, why do we get affected? Because we think it has hurt me. I got it. I got sick. I am feeling the pain. I am suffering. This is the connection with the pain and the pleasure, isn't it? When self-realization happens, what's happening? My identification with the body has gone, and identification with the soul is permanent now. So when identification with the soul is permanent, when the pain happens, you don't feel the pain. You don't feel the pain. Body feels the pain. You don't feel the pain. This is where that shift happens from the body to the soul. Body to the soul. So you cannot, that is their freedom. That is the only freedom we have. This is the freedom we have. In other words, that the freedom is that you cannot change the body and get a body which will not experience the pain. Body will always experience the pain. Body will always get sick. Body will always die. That you can't do anything about it. The freedom what we have is to free ourselves from the body. Today I'm thinking I'm this body. If I lose that idea, that identity with the body and become identity with the soul, then I know it's not happening to me. The pain is not happening to me. The distress is not happening to me. Death is not happening to me. This is exactly the same thing in the Bhagavatam. What Sudeva Goswami told Parikshit at the end, isn't it? At the end, that is what he had to say to Parikshit. Parikshit, have you realized it now that you are not this body? Parikshit says yes. Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahma Aham Paramam Bhavan. So all those things in the Bhagavatam is the same thing here also. That you cannot change the body's nature. Body comes from material nature, isn't it? Body has come from material nature. And anything that has come from the material nature is asat. And material nature, aparaprakriti. Aparaprakriti you can't change. But what you can change is identification from aparaprakriti to paraprakriti. To paraprakriti, which is our pure identity. So, in Vrindavanam once, there was one yogi who used to live in Vrindavan. So many people used to go to him. He used to live in one of the outskirts in Vrindavanam. And he was a yogi. Yogi in the sense that he had cultivated knowledge also. Along with that, he has practiced yoga system also. So he lived like that. And he used to have only a kaupin, without any clothes, seriously, except to cover his bottom. He used to have this kaupin, and he used to stay there in that way. And in his body, there was a lot of sore in the body, which was, there was a lot of, he never used to take any medicines or treat any, what do they call, some injury-like thing, different bodies, some thing has bitten the body and the body has got a lot of sore in the body everywhere. So a lot of worms in that body. He will sit there and watch the worms eating his own body. He will sit there and watch the worms eating on the body. So one day while he was sitting like that, a person came walking that way. And he noticed that this yogi is from one of the sore, some worms have fallen off from there, when he moved the leg. When he moved the leg like that, something has fallen off from there. He has picked them up and put them back there where they were, he says. So the avadhu person who was walking, he went back and asked him, why do you do that? He says, that's their food, let them have it, he says. That's their food, let them have it. So, why should I stop that, he says. Jivo jiva se jivanam. One living entity is food to another living entity. Srimad Bhagavatam says that, isn't it? Ahastani sahastanam abadani chatushpadam phalguni mahadam tatra jivo jivasya jivanam. One living entity, that is a nature's law. So in this world, one living entity is food to another living entity. But people who are in knowledge, whenever distress comes, they will not fight against it. That is their intelligence. That's their knowledge. They won't fight against that. So, they will not try to avoid it or try to escape from that. Same way, when happiness comes or distress comes, let it come and go. Nanda Maharaj says here, after so much distress you have experienced, 6 children were gone, Kamsa has killed them. The 7th one was a girl, she also died. Nanda Maharaj is saying this. The 7th one, which is Yogamaya, I heard that she went away and flew in the sky or something like that. Nanda Maharaj has understood all these things, and Nanda Maharaj is expressing his, his unhappiness that all these things have happened to Vasudev, and that you will see in the 29th verse. Nandavacham ahode devagi putram kamsena bhavo hadaha egavashishta varaja kanya sabi divam gadaham. That Nunam Yadrishtan Adrishtam Nishto Ayam Adrishta Paramo Janaha Adrishtam Atmanas Tattvam Yo Veda Samukhyadi. Those two verses from at the end of 5th chapter 29 and 30, you can see the two verses Nanda Maharaj has spoken. And here he will say, you'll see the word there, Nunam Adrishta Nishto Ayam Adrishta Paramo Jana Adrishtam Atmanas Tattvam Yo Veda Na Samukhyadi. Nunam adrishtanishtoyam adrishtaparamo janaha adrishtam atmanastattvam yo veda nasamukhyadim. Then one who knows adrishtam, he won't be affected by this. What is this adrishtam? Nanda Maharaj uses a word there, adrishtam. Adrishtam. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, for karmam, there are 5 things spoken there, isn't it? If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, in relationship with karmam, 5 things are spoken about karmam. It is in the 18th chapter, 14th verse. Verses 13, 14, if you look, you will see some very important understanding of karma. He mentions there, Panchaidani Mahabahu Karanani Nibhodami Sankhe Kritande Proktani Siddhaye Sarvakarmanam. Then, Adhishtanam Tatha Kartha Karanam Cha Pridak Vidham Vividhascha Pridak Cheshta Devam Chaivatra Panchamam. That is the 5 things. I'm sure a lot of the devotees knows about that, that the 5 factors which bring about the accomplishment of all action, isn't it? The 5 things in this world. What are they? It is based on the Sankhya philosophy. Place of action, the performer, the senses, the endeavor, and ultimately the supersoul. Ultimately the supersoul. Devotees take that very seriously, this verse, because it says adhishtanam. Tatha kartha karanam cha pridak vidham vividascha pridak cheshta devam chaivatra panchamam. Devam chaivatra panchamam. What are the 5? Place of action, the performer, the senses, the endeavor. These 4 things is here, ultimately the super soul. It is that super soul what Nanda Maharaj mentions here as adrishtam in this verse. Adrishtam. It is an unknown entity. It's an unknown entity. If we understand that verse in Bhagavad Gita, then you will know that the results that comes in life is not based on your effort. Adrishtam. It's adrishtam. It is. So, in order to execute work in this world, you need a material body. We do all actions with the material body. Therefore, similarly, kartratvam, I am the doer. Kartratvam is another word for false ego. Kartratvam, I am the doer, is another word for false ego. False ego is ahankaram. And the same thing is kartratvam, spoken in a different way. It is the same thing, ahankaram, false ego. And karanam. Karanam means the senses, to do the work. And the activities, these two things, these two things, what they do together. Cheshta. That is that word cheshta there. You see that? Prithak cheshta. It says in that Bhagavad Gita verse, you will see, adhishtanam tatha karta karanam cha prithak vidham vividascha prithak cheshta devam chaivatra panchamam. That cheshta is that what this ahankaram or kartrutvam does together with the senses. That is what is called cheshta. What is called? Cheshta. So, this cheshta is what we call as karmam in this world. What the ahankaram or false ego inside, or kartrutvam, I am the doer, in conjunction with the senses, what it does in this world is called cheshta. And we call that as karmam. We call that as karmam. If you have done everything with the senses and the false ego, you cannot guarantee that the results will come. You cannot guarantee the results will come. And that is what Devam Chaivatra Panchamam, it says. Devam, it is called. That Devam is what Krishna, here Nanda Maharaj calls this as Adrishtam. That Adrishtam. So, Devam in the sense, not as Ishvara, the controller, but instead he said here, Adrishtam. That is a word he has used. Adrishtam means, it is not in front of us. Who is making that decision? The person who is making the decision is not here. So, many times, different experiences will come in life. So, that is why sometimes you will see people ask this question, oh, he was such a nice person, how come this happened to him? We'll always ask that question, isn't it? Sometimes people go and do something terribly wrong, things happen in life. And we wonder why this has happened to such a nice person. Why did this happen to him? It should have never happened to him. That is it. And why so much distress has come to that family? They were such a nice people. They were very nice and they lived very well and they were kind to everyone. And in spite of all that, this has happened to them. This has happened to them. And that is where all the problem starts, when we start thinking in that way. There, in most situations, you won't have an answer for that, would you? You won't get an answer. People ask this question, and this is also becomes a reason for denying the existence of God. They will say, if God is there, why is he like this? Why is he giving distress to good people? And how come, equally opposite also, how come sometimes bad people, they don't get any problem in life? They are thriving all the time, they are making a lot of money, they are living a good life. How is that? This logic, this is where our main problem in life is. This question, invariably, everyone will ask when they come to spiritual life. This question. Why somebody is happy in life, although he is doing a lot of things wrong in life, and someone else is very miserable, although he is living very peaceful and doing everything right. This contradiction is always there in everyone's mind. When something very tragic happens, we wonder why it happened, isn't it? Why did this happen? And that is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that although place of action, performer, the senses, the endeavor, all these four things are a part of karmam, it is that the fifth one, that super soul, he is the one, Devam Chaivatra Panchamam. He is the one who decides what the result should be. That has to be accepted and we have no choice in that. And when this situation happens like that, that is when you will understand that Krishna's word is correct. Krishna's words are correct. Because endeavor is there, the place of action is there, the performer is there, senses are there, everything was engaged properly, everything was done. But the result didn't happen properly, what was calculated. Why? Devam Chaivatra Panchamam. He did not. So, this question will, this is what is called Adrishtam. That unknown factor, which we don't know what it is. Here he calls it as Adrishtam. Krishna calls it as Devam. Krishna calls it as Devam. Inscrutable. This which cannot be known. The unknowable thing. So, that thing which is beyond our mind, beyond our senses, beyond our intelligence. That was that vastu or that substance, what is there. So that substance will keep giving us happiness and distress all the time in life. And we are the slaves of that power. We are the slaves of that power. So long as we remain in ignorance, as ajnanam, in ajnanam, we are in that field. We are in that field. So long as we are in ignorance, we are in that field. In that field of that, we are the slaves at that time, and we are in the field of material nature. Material nature. And you cannot jump out of that. So, so here, whatever you may say, you cannot avoid it. That fifth factor. You cannot avoid it. So, sometimes you can see in life, after you have experienced something, you will think like this. Have I not done like that at that time, this would not have happened to me. You may think sometimes like that. If I have not done like in that way, this would not have happened to me. And similarly, you may think like that later on. You may think like that later on. Sometimes it's a very interesting point, because sometimes when children don't study at school, college and all that very well, they took to some enjoying mood and didn't take notice of education very well later on. Much later, when they come to know that they had to struggle hard in life, they think that, oh, I should have a little bit more careful while studying, and all that kind of things. And it's not that if you had studied well, that you're guaranteed that life will be happy. But the things, situations like that, a thought may come, I should have utilized my time better. So later on, you think about it and start wondering, why did I not think in the proper way at that time? So what we have to remember here is, that force which has made you to think in the wrong way at that time, it is the same force that is making you to experience the distress also now. They are not two different forces. If you remember this, then you will know where things have gone wrong. The very force which has actually influenced your thoughts at the time when you did something wrong, it is that same force which is making you experience distress now. They are not separate. They are not separate forces. You start thinking about that, isn't it? So, that power which got into our intelligence and which made us to do a lot of wrong things, that same power later on gives us several experiences also in different ways in life. Why? This is all under the control of material nature, Prakriti. Prakriti is doing that. It is she who is doing that. And you cannot escape from that. You cannot escape from that. If you want to escape from that, there is only one way from this. That is to know material nature is different, I am different. That's the only way you can escape from her. There is no other way. Material nature is different, I am different. That is why, videsheha prayatnasya chako vivadaha tayor dayor mula ajananasya mentions there. That videshaya prayatnasya. Unless you escape from the body, you will never escape from that force. That force is material nature. The material nature which has actually created the confusion in your mind at one point in time in life and made you to act in a particular way. Made you to act in a particular way. Later on, you are analyzing and thinking, I shouldn't have done like that. And you are regretting over that. Something what you have done in the life earlier, whatever, anything doesn't matter. Something you have done wrong in early life and later on you are regretting about it. What you have to remember is that same force which have made you to do the wrong thing is the same force that is giving you this distress later. It is coming from the same source, material nature. It's coming from the same material nature. So here is where the question comes. Is it my destiny or is it effort? Which is more powerful? Always people will ask the question, isn't it?
They will always ask this question. Is destiny more powerful or effort is more powerful? Self-effort. This is a question like, is the chicken and egg situation? Chicken, egg has come first or chicken has come first? So, similarly, from the seed, the tree has come, or from the tree, the seed has come. In the same way, you can ask that question. So the answer to that, how to understand that, because this is an important thing in our life. When we don't know this, this will be always, we'll be perplexed by this. How come this? Why is my destiny like this? I have put a lot of effort into it, and still everything has gone wrong like this. We will say one day like that, isn't it? Nothing is happening according to our plan in this world. Or the way we would like to have it, it is not happening. That's our happiness, isn't it? If it happens the way we like to have it, then it happens. Then you feel happy about it. So this is where there is a clear demarcation line between vidhi and what is known as which is called destiny, and also what is known as prayatnam, or what is called effort. Vidhi and prayatnam, or destiny and effort. This has to be understood properly, and then you will know that this question itself is wrong. Question itself is wrong. So the question is this, that we talk about destiny and we talk about effort, isn't it? For whom is this destiny and for whom is this effort? So if you inquire the source of this destiny and the source of this effort, you can see there who is experiencing the destiny and who is putting the effort. If you look at it that way, you can see, you will never ask this question. We will never ask this question. What we will say is that, oh, this is my destiny, we will say. This is my destiny. When I am suffering, I'll say it's my destiny. And when it comes to effort, I will say I have put a lot of effort to it, but this is my destiny. We will separate them out. Question we have to ask is, who is having the effort and who is having the destiny? Who is experiencing the effort? So, who is having the effort, who is putting the effort, and who is experiencing the destiny? So, according to the destiny, will everything happen according to the destiny? Or you have, by putting a lot of effort, can you completely change the result? Can you completely change the result? So the answer here is, please ask this question, who is experiencing the destiny? Who is experiencing? I am experiencing the destiny, isn't it? And who is putting the effort? I am putting the effort. So it is the same person who is going to experience the destiny and who is going to put the effort also. So where is this I came from? Where did this I come from? So both I am, and where did this pop up? Where did this I come up? Then you can see it is that false ego inside who is dictating this destiny and effort. It is, the source is the false ego inside. So moment we recognize that this thing called a destiny and effort is coming from the same source, known as the false ego, ahankaram or jiva, and which is not a real thing, this question need not be answered. See the point? This question need not be answered because it's coming from the same source. Ahankaram is playing with us. This false ego inside is playing with us. And we get trapped in that. And then we ask this question, I worked very hard and the result was like this. So why is it like that? And then we'll blame Krishna for that. But Krishna is saying to us, see, if you identify with the false ego and remain as jiva, Krishna says you have to suffer under the hands of material nature. Moment you free yourself from false ego, escape from material nature, you are completely free. There is no destiny, there is no effort there. This is the most important point in spiritual life. Kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, all is centered around this false ego. I have never seen an analysis about kartrutva, this vidhi and destiny anywhere else. Because this principle, that vidhi, people say, people who are chanting the holy name for a long period of time, doing a lot of deity worship, doing a lot of other seva, when reverses happens in life, what the question? Why did this happen? Vidhi. They'll say, vidhi, it is destiny. And then they'll say, I put a lot of effort into it, it still didn't work out properly. Effort, self-effort. They've done both. And then they're saying like this, that out of these two, which is more powerful? Which is more powerful? Suppose I am destined to die. I'm destined to die. With my effort, can I win over that? Okay, death may not be possible. But there are many other things people work very hard and they say, I can change the destiny. That strength in them, commitment in them. If you understand that, both this destiny, who is experiencing the destiny? The jiva inside in the form of false ego. False ego. Who is doing the self-effort? The same jiva in the form of, the same false ego in the form of jiva. Is doing that. So the soul, the one who is doing both is the same person inside, the jiva inside. So therefore that question has no relevance, because this false ego is not a real thing. It is a false ego inside. Ahankaram is doing that. And we get tricked by that false ego, and then we get caught up and get confused about the whole thing. And this doubt will keep on remaining inside. It's a false ego. Krishna's point is, the moment you are not that false ego, you realize the self, then you are not in the grip of material nature. There will be no destiny, there will be no effort either. None of them has any effect on you anymore. This is why self-realization is important. You see? Because these are the forces that is pulling us in this world, isn't it? Most of the life we are suffering because of the false ego inside. And false ego's manifestation is in these two forms, destiny and effort. Sometimes good things happen. What do we say? When something good happens, you say, oh, I'm so good at it. That's why everything went very well. We'll say like that. Huh? When something goes wrong in life, just like say, for example, when you work in a company, for example, you try and do your best and you've done well. In spite of that, the company got closed down. What can you do? You have not control over the situation. You worked very hard, that's fine. But company got closed down. So your job is gone. So what can you say about it? So many situations in life you can see that destiny plays its role, effort plays its role, but both of them only affect the false ego. It has nothing to do with you, the soul. It is because of the false ego inside, you experience it more and more and more every time. Krishna's point is, they are not coming from through different sources. The person who is experiencing the destiny is the same person who is experiencing the effort also. The source is the same, and that is a false ego. And once a false ego goes, you don't have to suffer destiny. You don't have to experience the effort also. This is the reason why we say, in all sciences in the Vedic literature, Vedas, only knowledge of the self is the real science. Astrology also is only valid up to that point, isn't it? Astrology is related to these two, destiny and effort, is it not? So astrology also is only up to that point. Even astrology is not perfect for this reason. Only knowledge of the self, self-knowledge, is the only perfect knowledge even in the Vedic literature. That's the most important point here. Because then he says here that if you hold on to that, asking this question, who is experiencing this destiny and who is experiencing this effort, you will notice that neither the body nor the mind nor the intelligence, none of them. And if you keep the false ego away from that, the false ego is not there, only the base is there. Adhishthanam is there. Adhishthanam means adhishthanam. Krishna says there, Adhishtanam tatha kartam. Karmanam adhishtanam tatha karta. Karanam cha pradak vidham. Vividascha pradak cheshta. Devam chaivatra panjamam. So, devam chaivatra panjamam. Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam. The basis on which all these things are happening. Only adhishtanam is there. All other things have no existence. So, All these things are that adhishtanam. So who has the destiny and who has the effort? Both of them are in the field of maya, in the field of maya, material nature. And it is maya's trick. Maya's another trick, what she plays with us, keeping us in suspense with this destiny and effort. This is coming from maya. It is only because of maya we experience this all the time in life. So, because pure spirit soul, there is no effort there, there is no destiny there. It's free from everything. And happiness, distress, all this relativity doesn't exist there. That is why when Sudha Goswami mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning, Vadandi dat tattva vidam, that tattvam, tattvam yal jnanam advayam, that is knowledge it is. Advayam, it is non-dual. It cannot be touched by anything. Advayam. There is nothing. This duality cannot touch that, that knowledge. So only escape for us is to get to that state of knowledge. If you get to that state of knowledge, what will happen? Then these things will not touch anymore. Vidhi or destiny or effort. These things have no relevance there. Why? Tattvam yal jnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdyade. That it is addressed in that way. So, we are trapped in this. What this material nature has created that, and we are trapped in that. So, the only way, Bhagavatam says that one who surrenders to Krishna, Sharanagati, for them there is no destiny, there is no effort. One who has surrendered for him, there is no destiny, there is no effort. So, destiny cannot touch them anymore. Because continuously they are experiencing, they are in that platform, in that state of who they are. They don't know destiny. And they also have not got this attitude that I am putting my effort. I put a lot of effort into it, we say. Isn't it? That also doesn't exist. Their mood is, I am simply an instrument in Krishna's hands. Simply an instrument in Krishna's hands. And where is the effort then? And where is the effort? Because from my effort alone, nothing is going to happen. Effort is also done by Krishna. And Krishna is working through this body or working through this mind. With that consciousness, if one operates in this world, that is what is expected of us. Ishwara Paramak, Bhagavad Gita says that, isn't it? Yantrarunani Mayaya. So, Yantrarudhani Mayaya, Krishna says that Ishwara, Ishwara is operating, Krishna is controlling us, and we are like a machine. He is the operator. With that consciousness, that means surrender, surrendered nature to Krishna. If we live that way, then there is no destiny, there is no effort. So, who is I do not experience the destiny nor the effort. So, both of them have left you at that point. Adrishtam, he says here, isn't it? Adrishtam. Adrishtam, see how Sukadeva Goswami very cleverly put the whole philosophy in that. Nanda Maharaj, when he is leaving Vasudev, he is saying these things to him. In two words, this whole topic is covered there. Adrishtam, Atmana, Tattvam, he says. Adrishtam, Atmana, Tattvam. Yo Veda na samukhyati. That is what this all we are discussing now. Adrishtam Atmanatastvam Yo Veda na samukhyati. Yo Veda means one who knows Adrishtam Atmanatastvam. One who knows the knowledge of the soul. Self-realization has happened to a person who knows Adrishtam, that unknown thing. Atmanatastvam Yo Veda na samukhyati. He does not experience any lamentation or hankering after that. That is the principle. So who said this? Nanda Maharaj says this to Vasudev, isn't it? Nanda Maharaj says this to Vasudev. Just see how deeper level they are thinking. Can you not see that? They are simple village people, but the deeper understanding of life, that purity in them, that's because of the purity inside, given them the right intelligence to think in the right way, in the right place, in the right time in life. All this distress is happening to them. Nanda Maharaj is not happy. because although Krishna has appeared, this Kamsa is hanging on the top of the head like this, ready to do anything. And Vasudeva has come to know that Kamsa has appointed Putana to take charge of killing all the babies. So the fear inside, all the time Nanda Maharaj had that. Vasudev, so much in distress. 6 children have gone, 7th one was miscarriage, and the 8th one had to be taken away. That unhappiness in Vasudev also. None of them are in a happy state. They are all in a very unhappy state because of this Kamsa's administration. But in spite of all that, you can see how their thoughts going. Able to tolerate all distress and able to see that soul behind everything. Adrishtam Atmanastattvam. See that in one line, Nanda Maharaj has given all philosophy to Vasudev. Is it not like that? He is saying to Vasudev. Adrishtam Atmanastattvam Yo Veda Nasamuhyati. Nunam Adrishtanishtoyam Adrishtaparamo Janaham. Adrishta paramo janaha. And adrishtam atmanas tattvam yo veda nasamukhyadi. Saying this, Nanda Maharaj left. Saying this, Nanda Maharaj left from there. And Vasudev says, have you paid all the, you have paid all the taxes what you have to pay? And it is my good fortune that I was able to see you, although all these things are going on with Kamsa. But I am seeing a lot of bad things happening in Gokulam. Vasudev is saying this to Nanda Maharaj. I see a lot of bad things happening, bad omens happening there. So I am seeing that, and please go, he says right away, and look after the children there. They can have problems. So he took permission from Vasudev and got into the bullock cart and started riding back to Gokulam. So we'll stop there for 10-15 minutes and continue again.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Nunam Adrishta Nishtoyam Adrishta Varamo Janaham Adrishta Malpanastatvam Yo Veda Nasamukhyadi.
So, after this is what Nanda Maharaj has told Vasudev. Basically, what Nanda Maharaj says that about this vidhi and destiny, adrishtam, isn't it? So, one who has surrendered to Krishna, for him there is no such thing called destiny. There is no such thing called effort also. Neither of them for one who has surrendered to Krishna. Because as far as he is concerned, he is in control by Krishna. Krishna is controlling. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. So, the moment we accept that, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, if you have accepted that, then there is no destiny, there is no effort after that. Because destiny finishes there, because Krishna is doing everything now, not material nature. And whatever that is happening, I am the doer is not there anymore. Because you have accepted that Krishna is doing through this body various things. Various things are happening through this body. And Krishna is doing that. That is why the surrender, Sharanagati, is the most critical thing in bhakti. In bhakti process, that's the most critical thing. Not the chanting. Not the anything else. It is the surrender that makes a person's bhakti to develop. Bhakti is based on surrender. That is even Bhagavad Gita says, isn't it? Sarva dharman parityajyamamekam sharanam vrajam. Surrender. Without surrender, any other, we have this understanding that I will chant and come out from this. No. Chanting will take you up to a certain point. Surrender is the one that makes it happen. Nothing else. If chanting takes you, breaks you to surrender, that's fine. But if surrender has not happened, any number of years of chanting will not help. That is the absolute truth. You can't deny that. Any devotee's life, all these great personalities who chanted the holy name, if you look at that, including Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he say? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words alone, who propagated the holy name, what did he say? Trinarabhi shuni jaina, tarorabhi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. That amanina manadena means completely wiping out that false ego from inside. That is what makes that chanting success. Not anything else. That amanina manadena. So, when one does not take notice of that verse, tranarabhi shuni jaina, tarorabhi sahishnuna, amanina manadena. These three things are the symptoms of surrender, isn't it? Tranarabhi shuni jaina. That to consider oneself as a blade of grass. Tranarabhi shuni jaina. Tarorabhi sahishnuna, and able to tolerate all kinds of happiness, distress in this world, whatever it may be, the door is open. Tarorabhi sahishnuna, and amanina manadena. Amanina manadena. Never to any time to think, not to think at any moment that amanina manadena, never to develop that false ego inside, I am somebody. Amanina. No manam. No honor. No respect. Nothing in this world. In that state, Mahaprabhu says, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Then if you chant in that state, that chanting will be the proper chanting. All other, at the moment, who is chanting? The false ego is chanting. False ego is chanting. At the moment, we are doing our sadhana. Why is it called sadhana bhakti? Because it is bhakti is based on the false ego. It's on the false ego platform we are chanting. Aham, aham, that false ego has not gone. It is still there.
So chanting, if eventually it ends up in surrender, sharanagati, then that is bhakti. That is bhakti. That is why it is, that at that point, one is fully convinced that Krishna is working through this body, and for that person there is no vidhi or there is no destiny for him anymore, because the person is not there anymore. The ego, which was always evaluating every situation and looking for happiness and distress and finding profit and loss in every deal, that person has gone. That is false ego who was doing that. And it is that same false ego who is calculating the profit and loss, success and failure, happiness and distress. It's the same person who is bringing this destiny and effort also. He has gone from inside. He has completely gone from inside. That is why bhakti means sharanagati. Bhakti is, bhakti, whole bhakti process in the Bhagavatam, if you carefully observe, what does it all points out? One thing. You take for Kunti Devi. You take example Kunti Devi, Bhishma Pitamaha, or Uddhava, Gopis, Akrura, Ambarish Maharaj. Each, every one of them is trying to beat the other in surrender. Every one of them is trying to beat the other in surrender. Who is more surrendered than the other? Kunti Devi starts with the surrender process, isn't it? That surrendering of Kunti Devi made her, that realization has come to her. Kunti Devi doesn't think anymore of herself. She said like that, isn't it? Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi shravana smaranarhani karishya nidike janam. Kunti Devi says there. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi. From avidya, from ignorance, desires have come. And from desires, karma has come. That is how Kundi's explanation to that. Kundi Devi says like that, isn't it? So, bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi. All from avidya, from ignorance, not knowing who I am. That was my avidya. Not knowing who I am. When I know who I am, then all kamam, desires, karma, everything stops there at that point. That is why Kunti Devi and says to Krishna, Shri Krishna Krishna Sakha, Vrishabhavanidruk Rajanyavamshadahana Anapavargaviryam Govinda Godduja Swarati Haravataraha Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. Kunti Devi couldn't say anything after that. She just fell at Krishna's feet and surrendered there. Uttara Devi, what did she say? Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagalpade Nanyam Tvadhvayam Vashyel Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. Saying that, Uttara Devi surrendered to Krishna. Bhishma also surrendered to Krishna. All I can say about you is only these three things. Everyone remembers you, Bhishma says to Krishna. What happened in that Rajasuya sacrifice? I remember who you are. What happened in Mahabharata war when you inspired Arjuna to fight against us? I know who you are. When you have danced with the gopis in the rasa dance, I knew who you are. In these three occasions, Bhishma says that, Bhishma Pitamaha says that, I understood your identity, who you are. So, Krishna consciousness means that this surrender, what has happened to Bhishma, what has happened to Uttara Devi, what has happened to Kunti Devi, later on you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Namostude Mahayogin Prabhanna Manushadhimam Yatha Tvacharanam Voje Redisyal Anabhayini. That is Uddhava surrender. Uddhava, before he going to Badrinath, after 112 years of association with Krishna, Uddhava saying to Krishna, Namostude Mahayogin. Mahayogin, Krishna is said, Prabhanna Manushadhimam. Let me surrender, he says. Prabhanam, prabhanam, prabhati means to surrender. Prabhanna Manushadhimam, let me surrender. Why? Yadha Tvacharanam Bhoje. That if I have that connection with you in that surrendered state, Redi Syal Anapayini, that Redi, that attachment to your lotus feet should never get threatened by any means. It should always stay in that surrendered state, attached to your lotus feet, I should remain. So you can see all the devotees in the Bhagavatam, they have only one thing to say to us. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Surrendering is bhakti. Surrendering is bhakti. And this is what I am saying. When Prabhupada instituted ISKCON, this was the principle. This was the principle. And this was the opportunity he was giving to people to surrender. to surrender, to you have to have, that is why institution was created, not to create jobs. It is not for jobs. It's not another employer in this world, like so many other employers are there. People don't understand this principle still. Bhakti means surrender. Surrender means what? Surrender means what Krishna is saying here, like all the previous devotees have done in the Srimad. That is Bhagavata Dharma, which is the alternative to the Jnana Margam. Jnana Margam is not easy for any one of us in our present state of body and mind. In our present state of body and mind, we are not qualified for the Jnanam process. Therefore, Bhagavata Dharma Krishna has given to us. And Bhagavata Dharma means this. And that is why he says here that that person who has surrendered, he knows that false ego doesn't exist anymore. He has gone because it is him who was experiencing the destiny. Adrishtam Alpanatvam. That for such a person can never experience distress also, one who has surrendered in that sense. So once that has gone, then most of us are suffering because of that illusion, identification with the body, and we are suffering. But as long as we are identifying with the body, all that distress that is in relationship with the body will come. So in that moment, what will happen? That everything, we will have the problem with the planets. Sometimes devotees also will get attracted to the astrologers, don't they? So astrology has also grown up with Krishna consciousness. This is what I find most of the time. In all the websites, there is a lot of devotees now taken to astrology. They are also saying, oh, this is Vedic Prabhu. It's also Vedic knowledge. So we should have astrologers as well. And they start evaluating their life based on astrology. Spiritual life is not subjected to astrology. They don't understand that, those who are doing this. Spiritual life has nothing to do with astrology. Astrology is only up to a level. It is true. After that, it is not. After that, it is not. How sad it is. Some of them are even talking about that they are saying that they are looking into the chart of ISKCON and seeing where things are going wrong. This is how foolish the whole thing is. So meaningless. No spiritual understanding about things. Spirituality has nothing to do with astrology. That is what Sudeva Goswami, Nanda Maharaj, everybody is telling us. That he says here, Adrishtam Alpanastatvam Yo Veda Nasamukhyati. One who knows the Alpatatvam, which is Adrishtam, Alpatatvam, Adrishtam Alpanastatvam Yo Veda, one who knows us, Nasamukhyati. He won't go to the astrologer, he's saying. But nowadays everybody goes to astrologer as soon as the problem. And if astrologer tells you, oh, this and these planets are in the wrong place and that's why you are suffering, you give him some 50 pounds or 100 pounds and he's happy, you are also happy that you know the planets are doing it. What can I do? You want to blame someone, isn't it? So you got the planets. Blame the planets then. Poor planets, they are ruling their own life. They live there. And we blame all of them for that. So they also, this foolishness of these things are, that is why in the Upanishads it says, the only truth in this world is spirit soul and the science related to spirit soul. Everything else is not properly knowledge, not considered to be pure knowledge. Pure knowledge is Brahma Vidya, Atma Vidya, knowledge of the soul. That knowledge you cannot touch it. It's not tainted with anything. It's pure. So therefore it is spoken in that way. So once we have given up this identification with the body, all graha dosham means the planet's problem, even that goes away with the so planets and all, at a particular level you take it, but once you have surrendered, then there is no planets anymore applicable to that person anymore. Because he is Krishna's person, Krishna is working through him. So, as soon as one has surrendered to Krishna, you can take your chart, astrological chart, and put it in the bin. It's finished there. It is finished there. After that, you don't have to look into the astrological chart anymore. But, then the story is different. So, if you can look at it this way, that astrologer will tell you such and such a time you will die, isn't it? Such a time you will die according to his chart, whatever he has calculated. So, but one who has surrendered, who is on a spiritual platform, for him there is no death. So astrologer is talking about only the death of the body, not about the person. Person doesn't die. The soul inside, he has no death. So one who knows the soul, one who has identified with the soul, and one who has surrendered to Krishna, his story is different. His story is different. Nothing can affect him. Whatever distress comes in life, whatever difficulties comes in life, it won't affect him. Nanda Maharaj knows this. Nanda Maharaj knows this. Otherwise, Nanda Maharaj won't say this. Nanda Maharaj won't say this. All of them, Nanda Maharaj and all, they have full knowledge of the Tattvam. They know the Tattvam very well. Then Nanda Maharaj says this to Vasudev, paid his obeisances, and they left. At that time, Putana has started killing the babies. Putana has started moving around and killing the babies. And the next place to visit was Nanda Maharaj's Gokulam. She was going around all other places as well. And Nanda Maharaj, and she is coming there from Mathura. And that you will see in the next chapter, in the sixth chapter, Putana's arrival. Second verse. Kamsena prahida ghoram Putana bhalakhadini Shri shishumschachara nignandi Puragrama vrajadishum. Kamsena prahida ghora Putana bhalakhadini Shishumschachara nignandi Puragrama vrajadishum. So Madhura, Nandagvrajam, Nandagram, all these places, Putana has done her business and she is on her way. And Putana, what this name Putana has come? Putana has come, Putana hi dharmavadat padayandi Putana. That is one meaning. That only very pure people, even they get misled by her. That's why she is called Putana. Putana bhi dharmavadat padayandi Putana. This is the definition of Putana. Where the word Putana means that. Putana bhi dharmavadat padayandi Putana. That means, even those who live according to the principles of religious life, who follows dharmam, even they can be misled by Putana. They can be misled by Putana. Another meaning given is that due to association with Hari, she got completely purified. She got completely purified. Because she got back to Krishna, she got liberated and gone back to the spiritual world, therefore she was purified. Narayanena Puta Putanaha. She was purified by Krishna. So it mentions here. Fourth word. Sakejarigato Petya Putana Nandagogulam Yoshitva Maya Alpanam Pravishal Kamacharini. Sakecharya. Kejari means one who travel by sky. Kejari. Come is sky. One who travel by sky is Kejari. Sakejari. Kesakejarya Kato Petya Putana Nandagogulam Yoshitva Maya Alpanam Pravishal Kamacharini. Kamsa had sent her there. Kamsa had sent her there. Then Tam, now Putana's description. Sudeva Goswami likes to describe all these personalities. How he is seeing her. He says here, Tam Keshabandam Vidishikta Malligam Brihan Nidambastana Krachra Madhyamam Suvasasam Kampida Karna Bhushanam Tisholasal Kundalam Andidananam Valgusmida Banga Visarga Vikshidaihi Manoharandim Manidam Rajogasam Amam sadam bhojagare anarubinim gopeshrayam drashtumivagadim gadapadim gopeshrayam drashtumivagadam padim balagrahastatra vijinyodeshishun yadruchaya nandagrihe sadandagam balam pratichannanijorudejasam dadarshadalpe agnimivahidam basim. Vahidam basim. Then, describing Putana's dress and Putana's decorations on herself, that if you look at her, Sudeva Goswami wanted to describe Putana as more beautiful than even the gopis who are present there. About the gopis, Sudeva Goswami spoke in the last chapter, how beautiful they were. But when you read this description about Putana, how beautiful she looked. And that is why when Putana walked into to Gokulam, all the women, gopis, it's a small village, isn't it? All the women there, They were looking at her and thinking, who is this personality who had never seen her before, who has come? Pudana has changed her dress and has come like this. Her appearance was so beautiful that when she was, they were hesitant to ask her, who are you? That also, isn't it? In village it is like that. I don't know whether you know that. In remote villages when you live, if some unknown person comes to the village, everybody wants to know who it is. But they won't ask. Each other they will say, do you know who it is? Everybody will talk to each other. Have you noticed that such and such a person? Everywhere in the world it's like that. In remote villages, there's only a few houses there. In remote villages, isn't it? Very few families live there. So the women at home, they will ask each other, do you know who that is? Somebody has gone, I've seen going to that house. Who is that who had come today? Well, it's a mess. And there's something for them to gossip. So they got something to gossip. So when Pudana came also, they didn't know who it is. And she came in the evening. And it was just getting dark at that time that she arrived. She arrived. And when she was walking, they were wondering, where is she going to go? They were walking, she was walking through the village. And many of the gopis have noticed her. And they saw her, so beautiful person. Who is, where is she going to go? And eventually they noticed that she was going into Nandamaya's home. Nandamaya's home. So Devgoswami described her beauty in these 3-4 verses he took to describe her beauty. And in one hand, she had a lotus flower also, added to all that. And this beautiful form, Sundari says here, isn't it? That she was so beautiful that he has gone even, Sudevaswami has even crossed that phase. Shriyam drashtamiva gadam. Gopya Shriyam Drashtumiva Gadam Patim. See that word? Gopya Shriyam Drashtu Iva Gadam Patim. In a natural way, from their mind, these words came up. How? They say, maybe just like Lakshmi Devi is going to see Vishnu, they don't know Krishna is Vishnu at this point. But they were saying like this, isn't that Lakshmi Devi going to see Vishnu? Yet it looks like that, looking at her. She was so beautiful and had this lotus flower in the hand also. Lakshmi Devi is normally shown with lotus flower in the hand. So a comment was passed like this. He said, Lakshmi Devi going to see Vishnu. One of the gopis have spoken like that. Spoken like that. So, and and Sukadeva Goswami is finding it very difficult here. Why? Could Sudeva Goswami could not find anybody else? She is a real witch, isn't it? She has really come to kill the babies. And to compare her with Lakshmi Devi, that was a little bit difficult for Sudeva Goswami also. So, her nature is demoniac, asura svabhavam, isn't it? Asuri. So, Shriyam Drashtu Mivagadam Padim. Shriya Drashtu Vagadam Padim. That he has come to see her husband. How could you say like that? Because the reason for that it means there that Valgusmida Panga Visarga Vichidir Manoharandim Manidam Rajaugasam Amam Sadam Bojagarena Rubinim Gopeshriyam Rashtamivagadam Padim. Then, when she has come like that, although she has come with this bad motif, bad intentions, she has come, that there is one thing that even if it is in the wrong way, she is, because she has come to see Krishna. That is Sudeva Goswami's credit for Pudana. After all, the motive may be wrong, but she has come to see Krishna. That is her credibility. That is her credit. For Krishna, what is good and what is bad? He says there is nothing called good, nothing called bad. It is in our mind all this good and bad, isn't it? Even about Pudana. You can only say she is bad because she has got this asuric nature. We say she is bad. For Krishna, what is good and bad? There is nothing good and bad for Krishna. As far as Krishna is concerned, you have come to me. That is what he wants. Have you come to Krishna? Have you approached Krishna? Have you gone to Krishna? That is your credit. You stayed away from Krishna. That's not very creditworthy. That's not very creditworthy. So that's the point here. Sudeva Goswami even glorifies Pudana. we cannot think of any of the demons in Krishna Leela as bad people. They are all great souls. Why? They have all come to Krishna. That is their greatness, isn't it? At least they got a birth at that time, not 5,000 years later, struggling here in this cold weather and struggling, miserable weather, life conditions. Isn't it? They all gone back and we are still here. So who is better? Who has done better? So all those demons also in Krishna Leela, Krishna's pastimes, they are all great personalities. They got an opportunity. They came to Krishna. Maybe in our way, if you think it is in a wrong way, they came. But they have gone back to Krishna. They have gone back. The fact that they went back to Krishna, the fact that they got birth at the same time when Krishna was there, they had the opportunity to see Krishna and to associate Krishna. That great opportunity, they got it. We didn't get it. So Krishna says here that Krishna's philosophy is like that. It doesn't matter who you are. Kshipram bhavati dharmalma shashvat shandin nigachadi kaundeya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyadi. If you become my devotee, Krishna says, you will never fall. You will be taken care. Kshipram bhavati dharmalma, whatever problems or distress in your life, it is there. And even if you are not right up to the mark as a great devotee or anything, because you have surrendered unto me, come to me, shashvat shandim nigachadi, he will come to the state of shandi, peace, later. Kaunteya pratijanihi, one who has come to me, Krishna is saying, name bhakta pranashyadi, he cannot fall from that. He is in the right path, he is in the right track. That is the most important thing. He is in the right track or right important track point. So, no matter how bad we are, how much bad habits we have got, if you come to me, one day you will become converted. You will turn into the right way. And not only you will become a dharmatma, they have to be looked upon as pure devotees. So, in her mind, Pudana's mind, the motive is not very good, isn't it? It's not a very good motive. But still, because when she came into contact with Krishna, you can see here that he took Krishna and put him on the lap. Kamsa has arranged her, given her this job. That's the job given to her. She has to do it. She's working for Kamsa. And Kamsa has told her she has to do it. She couldn't say no, because if she says no, then Kamsa may take some action. So, but here, when Krishna took her on the lap, that Krishna is saying to her that you are finished now, you are not Putana anymore, you are coming back to me. So Putana got the same situation like Yashoda Devi. She got the opportunity, although the separation from that material body was painful, but ultimate goal what she attained is as good as Yashoda. Yashoda's position in the spiritual world. Because everyone who goes back to spiritual world, to Krishna, that they have to be addressed not anymore as Putana. She is not Putana anymore. She is purified now. And she has gone back into the same status as Yashoda or Lakshmi Devi. So, this kind of comparison of, you will see in Ekadasha Skandam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, about Pingala mentions there. Have you noticed that? While talking about Pingala also, Krishna says the same thing. What does it say? If you look at the 11th canto, you will see that the when Pingala Pingala was a prostitute, wasn't it? Pingala was a prostitute. But as soon as renunciation came to Pingala on that particular night, you know the story of Pingala in the Bhagavatam, which we talked about before. Pingala was a prostitute, and Pingala at one point, she was entertaining her customers, And one night she became completely detached from this world, completely detached from this world, due to association of the Dattatreya Maharshi, Pingala's knowledge of the soul woken up inside. She started thinking, what am I doing? Who am I? That thought came up to her, Pingala, in Mithila. And she thought that living in Mithila, which is the birthplace of Sita Devi, I have engaged in such activities. What is activity I have done here? Sita Devi's knowledge of the soul, Brahma Jnanam, Brahma Vidya is Sita Devi. Sita Devi is personified form of the self-realization, knowledge of the soul. Brahma Jnanam, that Jnanam personified is Sita Devi. And in her place, Mithila, I have lived this abominable life. That was hitting her very badly inside. When that realization happened, that is Krishna's mercy, Kripa, which came through Dattatreya Maharshi to her. Dattatreya Maharshi spent that evening there in front of her house, isn't it? So when she got that realization, what is known in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Pingala Gita, Pingala song, there is a few verses there. Pingala says, Ahome moha vidadim pashyada avijidalpana ya kandad asadakamam kamaye yena balisham sandam samive ramanam radipradam vitapradam nityamimam vihaya akamadam dukkhamaya adishogam moha pradam tuchamaham bhajetyah. Pingala is saying that I've been trying to beautify this body and enjoy this body, and using this body I was trying to earn my living in this world. Sandam samibe ramanam radi pradam vita pradam nityamimam vihaya. All abominable things I have done, not knowing who I am. Pingala's self-realization happened. Pingala's at that point started thinking, who am I actually? Is this body which I am trying to look after all the time, maintaining it? And it is through this body I am making my living in this world. Sandam samibe ramanam radi pradam vitapradam nityamimam vihaya akamadam dukkhamaya dishogam mohapradam tuchamaham bhajetyah. And what else have I done with this body? Akamadam, that there is somebody else who is free from desires, but I am full of desires inside. What else? Dukkhabhaya adishogam, dukkham bhayam adishogam, distress, fear, all kinds of miseries, and always lamenting about something. And very moham, illusion also. And who gives that to me? This body. And what have I done? I've gone and identified with that body. And I've suffered from that. Look at the way, even Pingala, when self-realization happens, that is the language they speak. That is how they look at that body, back to that body, and they are saying that this body has offered to me. Dukkham, bhayam, shogam, and adhi, moham. All of these results from this body, this is what I got. So, and it is this body I have taken so seriously in my life. And I was trying to take shelter of another body which has got all these features. Isn't it? She was trying to taking the shelter of other people who are made in this way, in their body. She was taking shelter. Now he says, I have forgotten who is there inside me. Sandam samibe ramanam radi pradam vitta pradam. That he is there right inside. I have forgotten about him. And saying that famous Pingala Gita. And at one point she says, Ye astibhir narmida vamsha vavshyam stunam tvachar omanakai pinadham charannavadvaram agaram edan vinmutrapurnam madubaidi kanyah. Very strong word she is using. This material body, she is saying, it is like a building which has got these rafters in there. These rafters which are everywhere. Similarly, we have, and there is a middle beam which goes in the top. Here doesn't have a middle beam, but it's all centered around there. But there is a middle beam going, which is our spine. From that spine, all these ribs are coming, both sides, isn't it? Like the rafters in a hut, in a cottage or a hut. The rafters are coming like that, the the ribs from that spine, which is the main being. Main being.
Yadasti biram nirmida vamsha vashyam stunam tvacha romanakai pinadham.
What else has happened? Then it is covered with the skin. Like a thatched cottage it is, this body, isn't it? Nicely covered it with different things like hay or whatever it is. Similarly, this flesh, everything is packed in on top of that, on the rafters. And then it is covered with that skin on top of the flesh. On top of the flesh. And then there is plenty of hair, romam, nakham, nails also. Pinadham. And charannavadwaramagaramedil. After Brahma created this body in us, he took a big nail and poked into this body and made 9 holes out of it. 9 holes in that body through which we started looking, we started smelling, we started hearing, we started tasting, all these things. The 9 holes in the body and through which we started enjoying life, all these things. That's why these holes were given. Isn't it? 9 holes were given to us. That is what Pingala is saying here. Charannavadwaram, that 9 holes in the body. Agarame, then what else? And these holes are always leaking. Through them, all the nonsense, all the things what flows through those holes, they are not very nice either. Pingala says here. Charannavadwaram agarame, then vin mutrapurnam. Madhubaidhi kanya, that urine and stool and or sweat, everything that comes through these different holes, and it is this body I was more concerned about. Pingala says, how stupid I was. She has come to that realization, and that is why she said, videhanam purehi asmin ahamegaiva muthadi yanyam ichchanda satyasmal almadat kamam achyutad. Almadat kamam achyutat. She says here, videhanam, in this videha kingdom, videhanam pure asmin, I am the only one here, she says, aham egai vamuthadi, the only one who is stupid here. Why? Yanyamichanda satyasman almadal kamam achyutal. I never cultivated this desire living in Mithila. What is Mithila's glory? Mithila's glory is this. You can see the name given is Videham. Videha means what? Videha means all the kings who ruled Mithila from Janaka, all Janaka, the king, that solar dynasty kings, they were all self-realized souls. They were, all of them were self-realized soul. Sudeva Goswami, after talking about Lord Ramchandra's history, he got up and paid obeisances to them, the kings of Mithila. Because of this glorious tradition, what they had. All of them were householders and all of them were self-realized. That is why this word, Videha. Videha means one who has no deham, one who has no material body. All those kings who are present, Janaka family, the royal family of that Mithila, they had no material body. They lived in this world, but they were all self-realized. One who had no material body, in other words. That's why every one of them are called Videha. Videha means one who has no material body. When Navayogis came there to discuss Ekadasha Skandam, that happened there, isn't it? The first King Nimi. King Nimi belongs to that family, Videha's family. And that is where the Kavi Hari Andarisha, the 9 sons of Maharaj Rishabhadev came to discuss the science of the soul. The 9 sages they discussed, which we saw in the Bhagavatam. So self-realization was the only topic that was discussed in that palace, in Videha's palace. That is why they are so glorious. And it is because of that Krishna brought them into Bhagavad Gita also. Astito Janakadaya, he says. The Janaka, the kings, their glory. Even Krishna is so impressed with that self-realization state. So you can see here, Pingala says here, videhanam pure hasmin aham egaiva motadi yanyam ichchandita satyasmat atmadat kamam achyutat suhul prashnatamo natha atma jayam sharirinam tam vikri atmadaivaham remenena yatharama. Remenena yatharama. From now onwards, when Pingala got that realization, I'm not going to go in that direction anymore. She sat there and went to sleep. And in that sleep, she is thinking about Ramachandra so strongly. And I will enjoy with Ramachandra from now on, exactly like Rama. Lakshmi Devi enjoys with Krishna, Vishnu. In the same way, I'll enjoy with Ramachandra from now on, saying that. You can see that in this story of Pingala. And that is why here also you will notice that that when it came to Rama, Mahalakshmi, that I will enjoy with Krishna in the same way Pingala mentions there. How could she say that? But anyone who has come into contact with Krishna will speak like that. They are all Mahalakshmi. Any women, when they have come into contact with Krishna, they are considered to be Mahalakshmi. They are considered to be Mahalakshmi. Whether it is Pudana, whether it is Pingala, it doesn't matter. Once they have realized the truth, they are considered Mahalakshmi. They are not Pingala anymore. They are not Pudana anymore. So, so if you start taking, because they have become, they have made the connection with Krishna. Whether Krishna doesn't think whether that person is good or bad or qualified or, if you take it like that, then it will become like a business. Then it will become like a business. So suppose we are qualified to go back home back to Godhead and Krishna takes us because we are qualified. Then what does that mean? What does that mean? Then that means that everything is a business. I work hard. I got all the qualifications and then Krishna has to take me back. If it comes to that state, then Krishna's mercy has no meaning, is it? Krishna's mercy has no meaning. Where is the mercy there then? We keep addressing Krishna as merciful, merciful, we say, isn't it? Krishna's mercy is well known. So here, because of that, one who has no qualifications, and even if they are extremely debauched in any way, but Krishna is saying here, if somehow or the other, if he comes to me and surrenders unto me, abhijayet sudra acharyam bhajadimam ananya bhak sadhureva samandavya samyang vyavasito hisa. You have to consider that because he has provided, he has surrendered to me. He has to be surrendered. Yeah, only then, not otherwise. If he has completely surrendered to Krishna, all his previous track record is gone, is taken out. That is the beauty of surrender. That's the beauty of surrender. Surrender is the whole key in bhakti. Whole key in bhakti. So, here you'll see here, Pudana has come to Krishna, and when she came, she was appearing very beautiful, unusually beautiful. And that is the nature of bhakti. Nature of bhakti. So, all other processes, jnana margam, yoga margam, karma margam and all, we will say you have to be qualified to realize the truth. But in bhakti process, qualification is not what is important. How you surrender to Krishna, that is more important. In jnana margam, it's not like that. Jnana margam, your effort and also your qualifications. Qualification means what? Nitya nitya vastu vivekam, iha mutra bhala bhoga viragam, shamadamadi shal sambati, mumukshatvam. The four sadhana chatushtayam they call it. They are important for jnani. Yoga margam, what is important? Yamam nehamam asanam pranayamam pratyaharam dharana dhyanam samadhi. Ashtangam. For the yoga margam. So, karma margam, kartrutva bhoktvatam, it has to become a karma yogam. That is important. Kartrutam should not be there, bhoktrutam should not be there. But when it comes to bhakti margam, yogyada, the qualification is surrender. Surrender is the qualification. The more one is surrendered, he is a devotee. He is a devotee. And here, so sometimes you see, the child is going to the mother. Child was playing in the mud for a long time. Whole body is full of mud. And goes to the mother. Child won't go to the mother after fully bathing, putting nice clothes and everything. The child will only go to the mother when the child is completely dirty and all over the mud. That is when the child goes to the mother. So, similarly, and what will happen? The mother will give one or two smack and tell him, why have you done like this? And then take the child in the hand and clean him up and put the nice clothes on and look after him after that. Bhakti is like that. We'll go to Krishna fully dirty inside, completely dirty inside, with all our bad thoughts, bad emotions, everything. And envy, lust, greed, anger, everything, attachment, asakti, everything is there inside. But if one surrenders to Krishna, what Krishna does is that like that little child. We're going to Krishna completely impure heart, impure consciousness, impure habits, everything bad in us, nothing good. But there's only one good thing, that we have surrendered. Though if surrender happens, Krishna, just like the mother takes the baby, gives one or two smack and then bathe the child, put the nice clothes on, give him nice food and looks after the baby in the same way Krishna does with the devotee. That is the relationship with the devotee. So, similarly, Abhijat, Abhijet, Sudhiracharyo, that is the meaning of these verses in the Bhagavad Gita. But we should not abuse those verses and saying that, look, I am a devotee, I have surrendered, so I can do anything. It should not go in that direction. Abhijet Sudhiracharyo Bhajadeimam Ananya Bhak Sadhu Eva Samandavya Samyang Vyavasido Hisa. That Krishna is only saying here, if you have surrendered completely, then don't worry. You are protected. You are taken care. If you are not surrendered, then not. Not otherwise. So, however bad we were, however bad emotions and thoughts we had inside, it doesn't matter. Krishna says he can purify all that. But you have to make that decision. That's what Krishna is saying. Instead, if you keep saying, oh, I have no qualifications, I have no qualifications, I am not pure. If you keep on saying this, Prabhu, I am not so pure, I am not qualified. If you keep on saying like this, you will stay like that. That's all. Nothing will happen. Nothing will change. So devotees sometimes say like that, isn't it? That I am not qualified, Prabhu. Or I am not pure enough, Prabhu. Things like that. If you keep on saying like this, you will remain like that. Nothing will happen. What Krishna is saying there is that in bhakti, there is nothing required. Unlike jnana margam, yoga margam, karma margam and all. It is how much we surrender to Krishna. The higher the surrender, the higher the bhakti. The higher the surrender, the higher the bhakti. So that is why bhakti process beauty is, it doesn't have any effort from, that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also saying in the Shishtashtakam, nothing different, exactly the same thing. That so chanting the holy name is to be qualified with the Shishtashtakam. Otherwise, chanting without taking note of Shishtashtakam is not really chanting. It will take a very long time to have any results to come from that. That is the only thing. Results will come, but it could be a long haul. It could be a very long haul. If you keep chanting but not caring what, you know, what the qualifications attached to it, like the Shishtashtakam, what it says there, isn't it? Tranaravishuni jena, tarorabisahishtuna, amanina manadena, kirtani yasada hari, nadhanam najanam nasundarim, kavidamba jagadishakamaye, mama janmani janmani ishwari, bhavadad bhakti rahaitu gitvai. Bhakti is like that. That is bhakti's nature. Nadhanam najanam nasundarim, none of them. Na dhanam, na janam. No money, no followers. No beautiful women. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Kavidamba jagadi shakamayem. Mama janmani janmani ishwari. Bhavadad bhaktira haitugitvai. That haituki bhakti, without any reason, surrendering to Krishna. Knowing very well, that is the only thing to be done in this world. That kind of surrender, sharanagadi, that is what makes bhakti to work. Bhakti process, you don't have to study much Shastram. Many, many great devotees, if you look into their life, they didn't study any Shastram. It is just their surrender alone made them famous as devotees. Just by their surrender. And that is the only thing that is missing in the modern bhakti. Except that everything else is there. All the other sound we are making in this world, except when it comes to that, that is where the greatest difficulty. When it comes to surrender. That is where the most biggest problem also. That's why all the bhakti, that's why it is called bhakti, is given another name in the Bhagavatam, is called Kriya Kalapa Bhakti. What does that mean? Kriya Kalapa Bhakti. Kriya Kalapa Bhakti means lot of actions and lot of noise. Then bhakti. Kriya Kalapa Bhakti. But no surrender at the end. No surrender at the end. So that bhakti is not what Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about. If you look at any great devotee's life, you will see they had a lot of drawbacks in them. They had a lot of drawbacks in them. Lot of faults in them. Lord Sundaramurti Swamiji told Shiva that, like this, that's exactly what he said to him. He said, you say that I've got a lot of faults in me. I know that I've got a lot of faults. If you start evaluating me, my qualification and all, I'm never going to make it, he said. I'm never going to make it. If you start thinking, to checking out my CV and start telling, has he got this, has he got this, has he got this. If you start ticking everything, the box, and start telling, and then decide that you are qualified to come back to the spiritual world, I have no qualification, he said. But, are you not the person, he said, just like I gave the example, in the kitchen, in the kitchen, when big feast is cooked, water will be stored in a big pot, milk will be stored in a big pot, for cooking various things, sweet rice or whatever, the people who are cooking, whatever, they have their plans. So, they will need water for everything, washing the pots, everything. So, there will be water in a big pot. And there will be milk in a bigger pot as well. And in a weather, like in the hot weather, sometimes some flies or something will come and fall in the water. Fall in the water. So, the chef, the chief, or I mean the head cook or the master chef or whoever you call it, whichever way you want to address it, he will say, throw that water away because a fly has fallen into it. It's not good anymore. We'll get fresh water, he say. He'll say like that. Get fresh water. Don't want to use that water. It's dirty, we'll say. But if a fly falls in the milk, what will he say? He won't say throw the whole milk away. He will use this darbha or something, make a purification by taking the fly from the milk and throw it away. And with the darbha grass, he will have mantra to chant and say that the milk is pure enough to prepare the food for offering. He will do like that. So with the same milk and the water, in two different ways, when it gets impure, you deal with that. Similarly, Sundaramurti Swamiji says like this. Sundaramurti says that if you are a materialist, he comes to you, but with all his materialistic ideas, you can reject him. There's nothing wrong because he's a materialist. He wants material life, material happiness. He comes to you. You can give him, you can reject him. That's your choice. But I have surrendered to you. I've given up everything. I have nothing in this world. I'm completely dependent on you and I've taken your shelter. You should not, like water, you should not throw me away, but like the milk, what is wrong in me, whatever faults I have, you should take it out and accept me. Like the milk you have accepted, or like the chief cook does, the chef does with the milk. Similarly, you should take away what is wrong in me and accept me. Sundaramurti Swamiji quarreled with Shiva on this issue. He said to Shiva, your logic is all wrong, he said to Shiva. Shiva couldn't do anything, say anything. This is the pastimes between Shiva and Sundaramurti. So like this you can see all devotees, Tukaram's wife, same problem, in the same way with Krishna. Isn't it? Tukaram's wife was actually in a relationship with Krishna like that. It's all fine, my husband is giving me so much trouble, he's not doing anything. And he's whole time busy with you, and he's married to me. So what is this marriage, she says to him. Krishna couldn't answer anything. That questions, Krishna couldn't answer. Every devotee you will see that this is how their relationships were with Krishna. So purifying that is Krishna's job. Purifying that is Krishna's job. Then when Putana arrived there, Balagrahastatram Vichinvati Shishun Yadrachaya Nandagrihe Sadandagam Balam Pradichanna Nijoru Tejasam Dadarshatal Padnimi Vahidambasi. So Putana arrived there and Balagrahastatra Graham. The word used is Graham. Graham means what? Two, three meanings for Graham. One word, Graham means to hold something is Graham. To capture something is Graham. Planet is also called Graham. planets is also called graham.
So here, balagrahastatra vijinvadi shishun, Putana has come to get hold of all these boys. All these boys.
When the planets act in a bad way, we will say that it is the influence of bad planets. The graham. Graham planets, another name of the planet is called graham. Graha is planet. So when the grahas are in the wrong position, then you have to experience certain miseries in this world also. So here, Putana has gone and caught hold of a graha, which is little different than other graha. Krishna graha it is. Krishna graha. When you caught hold of Krishna graha, what has happened? Krishna graha, if you catch hold of, that graha won't leave you. That's the problem with this graha. Krishna graham is like that. Krishna graham, graha is the planets, nine planets. Astrologers will say, you are under the influence of Saturn. You are under the influence of Jupiter. You are under the influence of Mars, different planets. They will say to you like that. And that's why you are suffering. In other words, you are under its control at the moment. Yeah. So that's why they are given the name graha, the planet. Here, Balagraham. Balagraham is Krishna graham. He has come and caught hold of that. And this graham, unlike the other graham, will all leave you one day. For example, Jupiter will hold you for 12 months. And Saturn will hold you for 2.5 years. Each of them have their own specified time when they will give you trouble, and after that they'll move to the next house. So you're freed. But this graham, the problem with this graha is, once it gets you, it'll get you. It won't let you go from there. That's Krishna. That is Krishna. How do you know that? That is mentioned about Prahlada in the Bhagavatam. Prahlada mentions there, if you look into the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th chapter, in the 7th canto, 4th chapter, you will see there, Krishna graha grihi dalma. Krishna graham has caught him. What can he do? That's what he is saying. 4th chapter, if you look there, you will see a verse, Prahlada, about Prahlada it is spoken. That verse 37. Nyasa kridana go balo jadavat tanmanastrayaha krishna graha grihi dalma na veda jagadi drisham nyasa kridana go balo jadavattan manastaya krishna graha grihi dalma na veda jagadi drisham. Then when Prahlada appeared in this world, this graha Krishna has already caught him. He couldn't do anything about it. You see, in the womb of Kayadhu, mother, the self-realization has happened to Prahlada. Because it has happened in the womb itself, that is why he says here, Nesta kridana go balo. When Prahlada came out, he was self-realized soul he was. In the womb he was realized, I'm not this body. Imagine that. In the womb he was realized that I'm not this body. When he came out of that, completely on the spiritual platform, all other children were playing with the toys. Prahlada had no attraction for the toys, to play with the toys. Jadavattan manastraya aha. More or less like our Jadavarada. That state. Always absorbed in the soul. Absorbed in the soul. Or in thoughts of Krishna, whichever way you want to call it. Jnanis will say absorbed in the soul. Devotees will say absorbed in Krishna. That's the only difference. In practical terms, there is no difference at all. So, because the whole absorption in the soul, he appeared as so like Jadabharata. He was not smiling, he was not playing, he was not crying. Just he sat there like this, without any attachment to anything, because of self-realization. That's what happens. When self-realization happens, no attraction to anything in this world, isn't it? So, Krishna, why? Jadavattamanastaya, Krishna graha grihi dalma, na veda jagadi drisham. That Krishna graha, Krishna has caught him from inside. Or self-realization has happened to him inside. Therefore, na veda jagadi drisham. He didn't know about this world even. That was his state. So, you can see, self-realization happens to someone at any time. Whether it is inside the womb, or whether it is like Dhruva Maharaj after a few years taking birth here, or like Uddhava at the very end of life, or like the gopis when they were in Vrindavanam, Doesn't matter. When realization happens, then there is only one song they have to sing. They all are singing from the same hymn sheet. They all sing from the same hymn sheet. There is no difference. When self-realization happens, their nature, their realization is always the same. It's always the same. So, this graha, jagadidrisham. So, Krishna's attitude is, whomever I like, I'll catch him. More I like, I will catch him. But, once I catch him, you won't be able to get out. You won't be able to get out. And similarly, Pudana is now looking for babies, isn't it? And Yadrachaya, he says here, Yadrachaya nandagrihe sadandagam. Yadrachaya means, that word has an important meaning. Yadrachaya, by whose plan, by whose desire this has happened. You can also see Yadrachaya means by accident it has happened. Either way you can take it. So she came dear to the baby and Pradichanna Vijanam. Balam Pradichanna Nijorute Jasam. That what is that? Pradichanna Nijorute Jasam. Just like Krishna is lying there, the fire has already finished burning. And you will see, if you look at the wood, after it has burned, it will be still burning inside. But outside it's all covered with ashes. The wood has burned and turned into ashes. So ashes is covering. But inside the wood is still burning. Wood is still burning. So, similarly, here you can see that the fire has not, the fire is inside still. Krishna is inside there. But he was lying there with both the eyes closed. As though, I don't know anything what's going on in this world. I'm just sleeping now. I'm sleeping, don't disturb me. That way. In that mood, he's sleeping. But the fire is burning inside. Fire is burning inside. Only thing is, if you touch that fire, you will burn. Exactly like that. Isn't it? So, Pudana thought that he's only a little baby. What will happen? Without any problems, she took him. Balam pratichanna nijoru tejasam. And dadarsha talpe agni vivahidam bhasi. So, Pudana had come. And at that time, Pudana has looked at with his... Krishna looked at Pudana with his left eye. With his left eye little bit opened and looked at Pudana. And went back to the meditation again. Went back to that meditation again. And Krishna has just checked whether he has arrived or not. Whether he has arrived or not. Said, and she was, Krishna was saying there, in the Bhagavatam you will see this verse, next verse, that Vibhudhyadam Balakumari Gagraham Charajaralmasani Milidekshana Anandamarobayangamandagam Yathoragam Suptamabhuddhirajudim Vibuddhidam Bhalakumari Gagraham Charajaralmasanibhudhiratnimilidekshanam Anandamarobayadangamandagam Yathoragam Suptamabhuddhirajudim. Just like a person who has misunderstood a rope as a snake, Rajusarpam. Just like a person has misunderstood a rope as a snake, that similarly, Pudana, not knowing Krishna, took him as a little boy and took him and put him in her lap. Put him in her. Anandamarobayadangamadadam yathuragam suptama buddhirajudi charajaralpasanimilidekshanam. Then, Pudana, there are so many explanations to that word. Charajaralpasanimilidekshanam. There is at least a dozen explanation to that. Why? Why did Krishna close his eyes when she saw Pudana? Why did she not keep it open? What was the reason? Charajaralpasanimilidekshanam. Then many explanations are given to that. And many devotees have asked Krishna, is that why you did like that? Krishna says, yeah. If somebody says something else, Krishna says, yes. So, every one of them is correct. Not that only one is correct. In spiritual life, we shouldn't bring our material logic into it. What Krishna says, ultimately, that is correct. Whether you like it or not, that is what is correct. You see, this is our problem in spiritual life is, we always think that everything has to work according to our mind and intelligence, isn't it? And if you bring mind and intelligence into it, it won't work. This is the only reason that you should hear Bhagavatam without allowing to be touched by mind and intelligence. Logic has no value in spiritual position. So, with this idea, chara vibhudyadam tam bhalakumarika agraham chara chara almasa nimili dekshanam. One point Krishna says, devotees are saying, that he closed the eye, one reason that Putana is a real witch, wants to kill all the babies, and I don't want to see her. In that mood, that Krishna has closed the eyes, I didn't want to see her. So Krishna closed the eyes because of that. One devotee said to Krishna, he said, why you have closed the eyes? Krishna says, then what? What else? She says. Krishna says, what else? Who wants to see Putana? I don't want to see her. That was Krishna's mood at that time. That's what the one devotee says. Another devotee says, if I have not closed the eyes, if I kept my eyes open, Putana will think that he is not sleeping. He is awake. And he'll be a little bit more careful to take me onto the lap. Because if he is sleeping, it is very easy to take him onto the lap. And if I keep my eyes closed, immediately she will start feeding me the breast. She'll start feeding me the breast. Whereas if she sees that I've woken up and if I make some sound, Rohini and Yashoda will come running and there will be a problem here. Krishna didn't want Rohini and Yashoda to come there at that point in time. At that particular point, she didn't want them there. He didn't want them there. He wanted them to stay away. So everything was organized in such a way. Rohini and Yashoda could not come into the room. They were standing and thinking. They've noticed that Putana had come. And they were thinking, who is this person whom we have never seen before? And if you ask Putana, who are you? It's a little bit second class, isn't it? Because she looks so beautiful and so well dressed. And suppose someone walks into your home and he looks very well dressed, a gentleman, as you say. Well dressed. You won't straight away tell him, lock the door. You won't look through the peep through the hole. You'll ask, isn't it? You'll at least try to find out in a nice way. You won't even ask, who are you? You won't ask like that, would you? You won't ask. So same way, Putana has actually put them in this difficult situation. Yashoda and Rohini knew Putana had come. But they couldn't ask her, who are you? Where are you coming from? Nothing. All that they thought that if they ask that question, that's a little bit of second class way of behaving. Rather, a little bit dignified way. Not to say anything. Let Putana come. And she took full advantage of that. Walked into the house straight away. Straight into the room where Krishna was sleeping or keeping his eyes closed. So, in order to deter Yashoda and Rohini coming inside, Krishna also acted as though he is sleeping. So, Putana and Yashoda and Rohini thought Krishna is sleeping. Let him sleep. And Putana can come and see the baby and go back. She has come to see the baby. So, in a very nice way, Yashoda said to her, must have come to see the baby, haven't you? You have to say something, isn't it? Somebody has come. You can't say just, I'll open the door, you go inside there. Like that. So, just you have to say one or two things. So, in a nice way, Yashoda said, must have come to see the baby, haven't you? In a very polite tone, she spoke like that. And Yashoda, after all, is not started working yet. Because it's only the sixth day. After the delivery. In them days, women will at least 90 days they stayed in the bed after the delivery. 90 days, that was a normal. But Ayurveda also demands that. They should stay in the 90 days in the bed. Till, because all their body after the delivery has become so loosened up. It all takes a long time to body to get back to normalcy. But that was the system. Now, straight from the hospital to the place of work. Baby shipped to the home, somebody will come and collect the baby, you'll go to work straight away. This is because why we are so advanced now, aren't we? The result of advancement. This is what has happened. So anyway, Yashoda Devi is resting. Yashoda Devi has noticed Putana has come and spoke to her from the bed. She has just got up from the bed, was little bit of household work she hasn't started yet. Rohini is in charge of the home. Rohini is in charge. So it was through Rohini all the conversation has to happen. And Rohini noticed also a very dignified person has come. How can you say anything to her? So Rohini also didn't take notice of it. So Krishna closed the eye for various reasons. Number one. This is the second reason. Third reason. Krishna is saying, if I have shown my eye, and if Pudana sees that beautiful eyes, Pudana's liberation may not happen. If she gets captivated by the beauty of that eye, Pudana will think, how can I kill this baby with such beautiful eyes? Why? Remember, even Sukadeva Goswami has fallen into the beauty of that eye. That is why you see, Tamalbudam Balagam Ambujayakshanam. First thing when Krishna appeared in this world, what Sukadeva Goswami noticed in Krishna was the eye. Tamalbudam Balagam Ambujayakshanam. That eyes of Krishna. It is the most beautiful part of Krishna's body, that eye, Krishna's eye. So that is why that eye captivated Sukadeva Goswami so much that as soon as Krishna appeared in this world, the first verse he spoke about Krishna was Tamalbudam Balagam Ambujayakshanam Chadurbujam Shankagadayudhayudam Srivalsalakshmam Galashobhikaustubam Pidambaram Sandrabayoda Saubhagam Maharhavaidu Virakirida Kundalam Dusha Parishwakta Sahasra Kundalam Uddhama Kanjangada Kangana Adivir Virejamanam Vasudeva Maitshadaham. After only that, he talks about Krishna's hair. Krishna's black, thick hair. Sudeva Goswami talks about that as well. But I is the first thing what he noticed. So Krishna knows about the importance of his own eyes, that everyone, it is with that eye Krishna has captivated all the gopis, his looks. Prahasidananam prema vikshanam. Gopi says about that eye, we can't forget that looks of that eye, Krishna's eyes. So captivating it was, all the gopis have fallen for that Krishna's looks, isn't it? So that eye, which was so beautiful, Krishna felt that if I opens the eye and shows the beauty, Pudana may not kill me. In which case, will not try to kill me, in which case she won't get liberated. This was another reason. Devotees have brought up all these things from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is there a different realize? To every one of them, Krishna says, yes, that's the reason, he said. That's why I didn't open my eye. I didn't open my eye. Vibhudhyadam bala kumari gagraham chara charalpasa nimili dekshana anandamaro mayamadangamandagam yathoragam suptam abuddhirajudim. So after saying all that, said either way, Krishna closed his eyes, and out of two eyes of Krishna, one is the sun, other one is the moon. In Vedantam it is like that. One of Krishna's eyes is the sun, keeping an eye on us, all of us, what we are doing. If in the during the day, who keeps the eye? The sun. During the night, the moon keeps the eye. If they are not there, the stars does the job. And sun represents knowledge and moon represents yogam. This is also important. Krishna's two eyes, one is the sun, one is the moon. Sun represents knowledge and moon represents yogam. From sun came solar dynasty, Ramchandra's dynasty, and the moon came lunar dynasty. Krishna represents the yogam, Ramchandra represents jnanam, knowledge. That is how that relationship is. Ramchandra is jnanam and Krishna is yogam. That's why when you spoke Bhagavad Gita, yogam was given a lot of stress. Yoga means karmam, karma yogam, ashtanga yogam, all that. Jnanam was not given that importance as Ramchandra has given importance to Jnanam in his instructions. So, Jnanis, what they do? They absorb in Jnanavijaram, in discussion about the soul, and they will reach what they know as Sadhyomukti. Sadhyomukti means instantaneous liberation. Instantaneous liberation. Jnanamargam offers instantaneous liberation. Through Jnanamargam. There is no stopover anywhere. Directly liberated straight away. Yogi, how do they liberate? Gradual liberation. Kramamukti, it is called. In the second canto, you will see in the first chapter, discussion about Krama Mukti and Sadhya Mukti. Sadhya Mukti is instantaneous liberation. Krama Mukti is gradual liberation. So, as far as this Pudana is concerned, she is not a jnani, she is not a yogi either. She has not any sadhana performed anything through process of knowledge. She has not performed any sadhana. She has not performed any sadhana through process of yoga either. Therefore, jnana sadhana is not there, yoga sadhana is not there. So he kept both the eyes closed. Krishna kept both the eyes closed. Now, that is one explanation. Then, one eye is Uttarayanam. Other one is Dakshinayanam. You know, the Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam. Uttarayanam is the 6 months when the sun travels in the northern hemisphere. Dakshinayanam is the 6 months when he travels in the southern hemisphere. So, when we are in this world, when we study Shastram and austerities and penances, and if we try very hard to liberate ourselves from here, even if we don't make it, suppose after leaving this body, you have a possibility of going through Uttarayanam process and there go to Brahma's world and you can hear from Lord Brahma, the knowledge of the soul, Brahma Vidya. You can learn from him and you can get liberated. That is the Uttarayanam process. Uttarayanam process is not just a period of time only, 6 months. What it means is that Uttarayana Margam, you will see in the Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned in another two names, Devayanam and Pitriyanam. That is the same thing, Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam, Devayanam, Pitriyanam. So Devayanam process says that you have taken the spiritual life, you have studied Shastram well, and you have performed all the sadhana and penances, what is necessary in this world, and wanted to go back to Krishna. But you couldn't make it in this life. It didn't happen because you are not perfect enough to go back. So what happened was, you lost your body meanwhile, you died. You lost your body inside. In such cases, those people, they will go through the process of Uttarayanam. Uttarayanam is a process, or what is known as Devayanam. Devayanam is their path. They both flow through the process of Devayanam. So when they go, what happened? They don't go straight away to the spiritual world. They go to the various higher planets and eventually reaches Lord Brahma's planet, Brahmalokam. And in that Brahmalokam, he'll have to stay for some time. Till Brahma also, when he gets liberated, or he will, with his help, when his day is over, he will allow many great souls to go back to the spiritual world. At that time, he can go back to the spiritual world, this particular person. And that is known as Devayanam. But Brahma Vidya, he lives there. What is the Dakshinayanam or the Pitriyanam process? Normally, when we die, or normally, most of us, unless we become something better than what we are today, unless the chances are, the path is Pitriyanam. Pitriyanam is what we will get. See, Pitriyanam means, or Dakshinayanam as it is called, they'll go to Pitriyanam, and from there, from the Pitralokam, when our punyam or pious activities is finished, over, then again we will come back and take birth in this world. We'll come back and take birth in this world. Otherwise, if the possibility is that if you have a lot of pious activity to your credit, you'll go to the heavenly planets and enjoy there and come back here again. Either from Pitralokam, either you'll come back to this earth directly, or you'll go to heavenly planets and come back here. You won't go back to spiritual world. This is how it happens. If there is a lot of, say, you in this life, you never became perfect in spiritual life. You didn't become perfect. But you have done a lot of good things, pious activities to your credit. You have a lot of freedom from sinful activities. You lived a good life here without giving too much pain and distress to others, and lived a proper Krishna conscious life as best as you could. The chances are that, but vasanas have not gone away still. There's a lot of vasanas inside, karma vasana inside, and there is still pious activities to your credit, sinful activities to your credit. Both are there. If that is the situation, you won't go back to the spiritual world. You will stay within this, what is known as karma mandalam. Karma mandalam means the higher planets, the middle planets, the lower planets. These three. Higher planets means the seven planets above us, then the middle planet, earth planet, and the lower planets, where you go into the lower planetary system. All these three things together is the world of karma. But karma you can only create in the middle planet, in the earthly planet. But to experience the results, you have to go to the higher planets or to the lower planets. There you don't create karma. Only in the earthly planet you create karma. That is why earthly planet is given so much importance. Because here you can change your direction in which way you are going to go. That opportunity is given in the earthly planet. No other planet. Bhumi's importance is that, because of that. So here what's happening is that the Pitrulokam, if you go to, because there is some pious activities you have done and you got some sinful activities also to your credit. So they will, if there's a lot of pious activities where you have to enjoy and you require that environment, the facilities in this world is not sufficient. Then you'll have to go to the heavenly planets to enjoy that piousness of the life. Pious credit is that credit card they will give you to use it there. Just like the what card is called? Platinum card. They'll give you the platinum card to go there. And you can use that card there. And but suppose there is not so much pious credit. And there is a lot of impious activities done in this world. Not much interested in spiritual life. Just busy with eating and sleeping and maintaining family. And in that process to acquire wealth, got involved in a lot of wrongdoings also. In this hacking the phone or whatever, all those kind of things. Without any sense acting in this world, I'm saying. Without caring for others in any way. All sorts of things you did. In which case, from Pitrulokam, the decision is made. Well, you have to suffer. There's a lot of nonsensical activities you have done. So go to the lower species and suffer in the earthly planet. That decision is taken from the Pitrulokam. Pitrulokam, that decision is made. That is why Pitrulokam is given importance. So here, neither Putana is qualified for Devayanam. There is no sadhana, nothing like that. Now, as far as Pitriyanam, Dakshinayanam also, that is Pitriyanam is concerned, even for that she is not qualified. Because even to go to Pitrulokam, you should have a certain amount of credit to your account. That means you shouldn't be too sinful. If you are very sinful, then direct to hellish world. There is no before purifying. That means that's when you accept what is known as Yatana Deham. Yatana Deham means you have lost your gross body, but to experience that misery or distress of all the sinful activities, you need a gross body to go through all that. You remember the fifth canto, that hellish planets. If you go there without a body, they can't put it in the oil and burn you. Or they can't pierce you with the spear. Or what it says there, you have to walk something like 88,000 miles or something. It says there, isn't it? You'll be walking through the desert, 88,000 miles. It says clearly, Sukadeva Goswami gives a figure there, 88,000 miles. You have to walk through that. Without water, you'll be given no water to drink. And you'll be walking these 88,000 miles. So many things are mentioned in the fifth canto. Better don't read it. If you read all that, you will think that am I one of the passenger for that flight to that. So better not to worry about it too much. Anyway, so that is Dakshinayanam. So Dakshinayanam and Dakshinayanam and Uttarayanam, either way, he is not qualified. Who is not qualified? Uttarayanam or Dakshinayanam, either way, she is qualified. Because she hasn't done anything credit to herself to go into the spiritual world for the Uttarayanam process. And as far as Dakshinayanam is concerned, she has in a state now, Pitriyanam. Dakshinayanam is Pitriyanam. Devayanam, Pitriyanam. Pitriyanam also, she is not qualified. So that is why Krishna is thinking, which category should I put her in? Which category should I take her in? So for her, there is no Uttarayanam, there is no Dakshinayanam either. Neither qualified for. Therefore, Charajaralpasa nimiledekshana. Krishna has closed her eyes. Let me think about it. What decision should I make about her? Some devotees say, that is the reason why Krishna has closed the eyes. And Krishna says, yes, I was thinking about that. Krishna says at that point. So, that is another one. The number of explanations for that line in the Bhagavatam commentaries is unlimited. Everywhere you will see, hear something new about that. And everywhere the devotees say, Krishna has accepted this explanation to that. Then, Krishna's out of these two eyes, we talked about that. One is rhythm and Kridasatya Netram. We saw when Brahma prayed to Krishna. One is rhythm, one is Kridasatya Netram. That Satyam means Hridam Satya Netram. One is a lie and one is a truth. Hridam is a lie. And Satyam, other one is the truth. Satyam means here Almavidya, knowledge of the soul. Hridam means that he will not tolerate any lie in this world. That means ultimately to keep this creation going is in Krishna's hands. That everybody accept that, isn't it? It's not difficult. There is a higher force who decides how this planet will continue to exist. Tsunamis may happen, floods may happen, earthquake may happen, but it all always looks that the planet still goes on. There is some balancing act going on in this planet. In spite of whatever we do in this world, ultimately there is material nature controlling this planet. And it keeps us in a state, particular state, where we can live in this world, isn't it? So that control on this is rhythm, that rhythm of the world. Remember we talked about the rhythm. Rhythm of this world is that, the rita satyane etram, that rhythm of this world. From this word rhythm, in Sanskrit came the English word rhythm. Rhythm came from rhythm. So that rhythm is this, that rhythm of this world. What is the rhythm of the world? The world carries on irrespective of what we do here. The seasons change, sun comes in the morning, sun rises, sun sets, moons carry on, rivers flowing, mountain stays. Many, many changes are happening, but the planet continue to exist and things are happening here. So this situation is rhythm. That is the rhythm. Then satyanetram, that satya, another eye is that satyam, the truth. So, the knowledge of the soul. So, one eye is the knowledge of the soul. The other eye is the religious principles or maintenance of the dharma or religious principles in this world. Now, as far as she is concerned, she doesn't have either of them. She doesn't have any truthfulness in her, nor she has any religious principles either. So, therefore, Krishna says, he closed both the eyes. Charajaralmasanimilidekshana. So, Krishna closed the eyes and asked Lakshmi Devi. So, to Lakshmi Devi, and then what should I do with her? To the Lakshmi, Krishna asked, what shall I do with her? She has come to me, what shall I do with her? And when Krishna closed the eyes, apparently Krishna was discussing with Lakshmi what I should do with Putana. That's why it took a while. Krishna didn't open the eye. So discussion was going on with Lakshmi. That was the reason. Charajaralmasanimilidekshanam. And apparently Krishna closed his eyes and called Vishwamitra to come. And told Vishwamitra, in the last time when I came, you were a problem for me. Why? The first person you asked me to kill was a woman. Isn't it? Who was that? Tadaka. Tadaka. First time Ramachandra and Lakshmana got trained up, Vishwamitra came and took them and went to the forest. And first person they had to meet was Tadaka. Tadaka came. When Tadaka came, Vishwamitra says to Ramachandra, you told him to shoot the arrow to Tadaka and kill her. Ramchandra was hesitant. First time he is practicing his archery. And if the first one, does it has to be on a woman? That's a little bit second hand, isn't it? To kill a woman, not very heroic for a Kshatriya. Kshatriya's nature is not like that. They want some powerful enemy to fight with in the beginning. Not a woman, first of all, to kill. This is something very third class to say. So tell to Vishwamitra that you have done this to me last time. In the last time when I came as Ramachandra. Now again, this woman has come in front of me. I have to kill her. Again, first a woman to kill. So he says here that, that for the sake of the world, I have to kill her. But that time I kill her because he have told me to kill her. But here that I have to kill her. How could I kill her? This was Krishna's question. He said, and charajaralmasanimi ilidekshanam. And Krishna, what Krishna did was, these are all devotees' versions of that. It's not in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam only says one thing. Charajaralmasanimi ilidekshana. But different devotees have pulled out from Bhagavatam their realizations on this. Krishna says there that closed his eyes and he went to see Lord Shiva to discuss with him about Putana. And he says to Lord Shiva, there is a problem I have. When he got to Kailasam, Lord Shiva asked Krishna, what is the problem? So he says to him that that the that what is the prasnam? What is the problem, he says to him? That Putana has come and Putana has got this poison on her breath. And I have no experience of eating this poison. You have got experience. So Krishna goes to Lord Shiva and tells him, because Shiva drank the poison, isn't it? When the churning of the milk ocean happened, who took the poison? Shiva took the poison, isn't it? Vavanya panyamo dadam. Before he took the poison, Shiva looked at Sri Parvati's face, accepting her, asking for her concurrence. Husband, isn't it? Husband is going to drink the poison. Husband is asking the wife, can I take poison? And Bhavani panyamo dada, Sudeva Goswami says, Bhavani means Sri Parvati says to Shiva, take it, nothing will happen. I am here, sitting here. Parvati's strength, Sri Parvati's strength. So that's why when the poison went in, that poison which could burn the whole creation, it went inside and held the hand there. And it stood there and Shiva became Nilakantha. The name came to him in that way. So he, Krishna says to Shiva, I don't have this practice of drinking poison. How do I drink? Then can you drink something and show it to me how I should take it? Krishna has gone to ask this question to Shiva. And not only that, you managed to stop it here, didn't you? And you couldn't take it inside and you could take it, you could not throw it outside either. You managed to do that. So, and what shall I do with Putana when I take, all these things have happened when Putana has arrived. That's what the devotees are saying. So, who has Putana taken on the lap? That is why Vedantis are asking. Who has taken Putana on the lap? So, that example, that you have misunderstood the snake as the rope. Rope as the snake, isn't it? You have misunderstood the rope as the snake. The same thing has happened here also. So, if you have no snake and rope, you know this example, Rajasarpam, that is snake and rope. It's a famous example in the Bhagavatam. At least four time places you will see. Sudeva Goswami uses this all the time in his examples, Rajasarpam. So, Rajasarpa Vibhrandi it is called. That means, Maya, the best way to express Maya is through this example of Rajasarpam. What is Rajasarpam? You know about that. There is a rope lying there. The light is not very clear. Twilight it is. If you look at the rope, you mistook it as a snake. It is not snake, but you have accepted it as a snake inside. What was the result? Result was that as much as a snake will frighten you, the fear has developed inside and you have accepted it as a snake, isn't it? That is, Raju is the rope and Sarpam is the snake. With that example, in Vedantam it says that this world, what you are seeing, has no reality in there. No reality into this world. But due to Maya's presence, We feel some reality in this world and we have misunderstood as though it's real, just like you misunderstood the rope as snakes. So similarly, if you consider the rope as a snake, there is no harm. Because the rope won't bite you, would it? Rope won't bite you. But if you consider the snake as a rope, it is dangerous. It is dangerous. So that was a mistake what has happened to Putana here. Putana did not misunderstand Rajasarpa Yogam in that way. It was not the rope Putana has misunderstood as the snake. It was the snake which Putana has misunderstood as the rope. The reverse Rajasarpa Yogam happened there. You see, the opposite way. It was a dangerous snake, it was Krishna in that sense. Isn't it? Touch, you could have been burning all your, everything will be gone. You could be bitten by that. But that she didn't realize. So Rajasarpam in another form it has happened to Putana. So that is what it says here, that Yathoragam Suptamaju Suptama Buddhirajudi. That verse, that comparison, Sudeva Goswami is used here in this verse. Yathoragam suptama buddhi rajyudi. Here what has happened was, he misunderstood the snake as a rope. If you misunderstand a rope as a snake, it's not a big trouble. It's only a misunderstanding. It's not going to bite you. You're not going to be killed. But if you misunderstand a snake as a rope, that's a big misunderstanding, isn't it? You could be in serious trouble. The snake will... How many times people die from snake bite, isn't it? And many of them happens during that evening time, between the sun, during the time when sun is setting. That's where the snakes come out from their holes. For their food they come out. And men or people who, when they walk through the roads and streets, they won't see it very clearly also in the street. In the street, they won't see very clearly. But in the villages, you will notice, they will walk through the streets without any fear. They don't even know, see the street, they'll keep walking. And quite often, deaths happen on the streets in the villages because of the snakes. So, snake and rope. That example here, Sudeva Goswami is using in another way, in opposite way. Yatha raju yatho uragam suptama buddhi rajyudi. Suptama buddhi rajyudi. So, that's what he is saying here. Rajastama vibhrandi. Suptama buddhi rajyudi. So, what happened here? That also he mentions here, anandamarobayadangamandagam, that you have to look at those words, what is used there. Ananda. Ananda has moved on to the body. Angamandagam. Here, anandamarobidam, what is Krishna says, anandamarobayadangam andagam. Who is Ananda? Adishesha. Isn't it? Adishesha is Ananda. It's a snake. Again, it's a snake. Anandamarobayadangamandagam, he says. Angamandagam. And then here, one thing you have to remember. Hrishinam punaravarti vajo arthanudavadi. There is a statement in the Vedam that if sages say something, that word, whatever they speak, Krishinam Punaravarti, Vajo Arthonudhavati, means, for us it may look as though doesn't make any sense, no meaning to it. Whatever they say, when they say something, we may think that didn't make any sense to us. But Shastram says, when sages speak something, Rishinam Punaravarti, their words, Vacho, arthonudavati. Whatever they speak, after they have spoken, it will make sense. They have not spoken after thinking about it. The words have come out from that, and after that it makes sense. If you think about it, it's like this, that you have thought about it yourself, and you are saying that, oh, it's not making sense. But you will notice quite often, when great sages speak, after they have spoken, it will make sense, because it's come from a pure consciousness. Pure. That is why it is said, Krishinam punara avarti. If they say something again and again, vajo arthonu dhavadi. When we speak, first we have to make sure what we make saying is sense, isn't it? Only then you should speak. We are like that, aren't we? First we think before we speak anything. Sometimes we speak without any sense also. But that's another thing. So normally, for us, we have to think before we speak what we are going to say. And after that we can speak. But for sages, they don't have to think. They speak and the meaning will follow the words after they have spoken, because they are pure inside. That purity is so high, there is no. That's why they are sages. That's why they are called sages. So, rishis won't think and speak. They don't speak after thinking like us. And once they have spoken, it will have several meanings to it. This is a big difference. See, we are living in the world of mind and intelligence all the time, isn't it? In the world of mind and intelligence. When it comes to sages, they are not in the world of mind and intelligence. They have come out of that. So, anandam aropyam adandagam. That word anandam is important for Krishna. Why? Anandam means unlimited. Something what is unlimited, that's an object. What is that? The super soul, Paramatma. And that has been imposed upon Krishna's body. And that is that what Putana has taken to her heart. Anandamarupiyadangamandagam. Ananda means unlimited. Means soul. Soul is the unlimited thing, isn't it? Anandamarupiyadangamandagam. What has Putana done? Putana has taken that unlimited substance from there, Ananda, and joined to her chest, to her heart, isn't it? So in other words, Putana has brought Krishna towards the heart, towards the heart. Anandam aropayadangam andagam. So what will happen if you do like that? It will create that situation that you will not have a material body again. That is what that word. You see how each word Sukadeva Goswami has taken very carefully. Anandam aropyam yad angam andagam. Anandam aropam. Ananda is Krishna who is lying there. Unlimited soul who is lying, concentrated form lying there as Krishna. To Krishna, aropam yad angam, to her own heart, to chest he has taken. And what will be the result? Andagam. No more material body after that. Anandamara opayadangamandagam yadhoregam suptama buddhi rajyudi. So Krishna done all that things. In other words, what it's saying is that if you give space for Krishna in the heart, what will Krishna do? Krishna will swallow us. Krishna will swallow us. Once you give Krishna for some space in our heart, Krishna will swallow us. How will Krishna swallow us? In whichever way if you take it, Krishna will take away that false ego from inside, which means the death of jiva. Death of jiva. Jiva means false ego. False ego means I have to enjoy, I have to suffer, all kinds of identification, false, that is all jiva, false identity. That will be swallowed. Along with that, the false ego also dies with that. So, so in the Bhagavadam, when somehow or the other, Krishna should get in. You know, in the Bhagavadam there is a statement, yenagena pyupayena mana krishna niveshayen. Yenagena pyupayena, doesn't matter. Somehow or the other, Krishna should enter inside. So if it happens like that Krishna will take that person's false ego from him once for all. So, so that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Krishna enters into one heart, it is very difficult to say. Very difficult to say. Sometimes Krishna can enter into the heart very easily without too much of a problem. It's not that how many hours you listen to about Krishna, how many hours you have chanted, when did you allow Krishna to enter inside. That is what it matters. So sometimes you can experience this also in several programs. Sometimes devotees come late, or sometimes devotees come all the time. They keep coming, going, all that things. It doesn't matter. Even then, it is even a little bit of Krishna gets inside somehow. That itself is a important factor. So, so. So she took, Putana, she took Krishna on the lap. Krishna decided like that. Krishna gave her a blessing. What was that blessing? Never again another material body for you. That is the ninth verse. You will see. Tam tishna chitta madivama cheshtidam vikshyandare kosha parichadasivan varastriyam dal prabhaya jadarshite nirikshamani janani hyadishtadam tam tishna chittam adivama cheshtidam vikshyandara kosha parichadasivan varastriyam dal prabhaya jadarshite nirikshamani janani hyadishtadam. Then, then looking at Putana and attracted by her beauty, Yashoda Devi and Rohini Devi, both of them stood there looking at her beautiful form. Tasmin sthanam durjara virya mulbanam khorangamadaya shishodhadhavata gadam karabhyam pravahvan prabidyadal pranay samam rosha samannido pipan. Tasmin sthanam durjara virya mulbanam khorangamadaya shishodhadhavata gadam karabhyam bhagavan prabidyadal pranay samam rosha samannido pipan. This is the killing of Putana. What did Krishna do? That when he, when Putana kept Krishna on the lap, and at that time immediately Putana pushed her breast into Krishna's mouth and gave that poison covered breast for Krishna to suck. And at that time Krishna got so angry, and like the babies do, they crushed that breast with a very strong way. Krishna started, we will notice sometimes when the babies drink the milk from the breast, they will be holding the breast and they will be squeezing the breast. Also, all these things baby do. Only Krishna also did exactly the same thing. Krishna also did exactly the same thing. And with great anger, Krishna was crushing that breast and drinking the milk from there along with the poison inside. Vilumangalam saw this. Vilumangalam said, you have no experience how to drink the milk, he says to Krishna. Vilumangalam's answer to, it is the verse in the Krishna Karnamritam about that. All these pastimes, Krishna's childhood pastimes, Vilumangalam has experienced in his samadhi state. That's how he wrote Krishna Karnamritam. And there, all these pastimes, Vilumangalam is comparing with an ordinary human baby. And he says to Krishna, that the way you were drinking milk, I could see that you are not, you had no experience. You couldn't even probably do that properly, he says to Krishna. Is this how babies drink milk? Vilumangalam asking Krishna about that. Normally, when the babies drink milk, they will look at your eyes, mother's eyes, and they look everywhere. But you are keeping your eyes completely shut. That is one thing wrong. You don't do like that. Vilumangalam is saying to Krishna, you don't drink milk like that. Then you are excusing that and making her life to come out from that. Will any baby do like that? Has any baby done like that in the past? Vilumangalam put a lot of questions to Krishna. Krishna says to Vilumangalam, Vilumangalam, this is the first time I've done this. So can you not tolerate me at least this time? Vilumangalam says this to Krishna. They had a very free conversation each other about all the childhood activities, what Krishna has done. Vilumangalam and Krishna talking to each other about the thing. That's why Vilumangalam's relationship with Krishna was like that. He could speak to him anything and everything he wanted. Such a nice relationship they had each other. So we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.